Cat Williams, I don't even think breaks the top 10 for me. There's Edomites I would put in front of him.
All he did was Knicks Friday.
George Carlin was funnier than him.
Mm-hmm. Cat Williams is just thinking it's that time again.
Yeah. And Kevin Hart. I wish somebody would say Kevin Hart.
Kevin Hart's like a jester.
Hey, Officer Rubin. Yes. The garment commercial is going to be the last one before y'all go live and start talking.
Thank you. Bernie Mac's funnier than Kevin Hart.
Oh, what's the other brother? Bebe's kid.
The big brother. Lavelle.
Lavelle.
Whatever the big fat dude.
Yeah.
He's funnier than
Lavelle Crawford.
Lavelle
Crawford.
That died. That Bobby ain't no snitch. Rashid something. I always forget his name. Nah.
Robin Harris.
When you look in the mirror, what do you feel? Fearlessness? Austerity? Masculinity? Godliness? But what is your beard?
All right, the garment is going to be next. Also, Ravain, that'll be the last one. I'll play the rest after the show.
Get definitive results with the bold, natural scents from the Manly Badge of Dignity Beard Oil and ignite the king in you. Because it's important to look how you feel.
Hold up, we're coming up. Righteous woman covered up. We honest, stay modest. We persevere for the promise. Put it in work. Helping our brothers and helping the church. Put it in work, helping our sisters come out of the dirt. The other nations, they kinda do what we do. The devil take us where the children of the
10 seconds, y'all.
The other nations, they kinda do what we do. Black is beautiful and they know that's the truth.
Shalom, shalom. Welcome to the Power Hour Plus.
Yeah.
I'm Deacon Yahshua.
Officer Shia.
Officer Ravain.
Officer Tobias.
What color we wearing today, Tobias?
We rocking Mormon, y'all.
This
how you like
Mormon? We rocking the Mormon. They should put some bombs.
Right.
Okay.
We just talking about too much sound effects. Not a. I don't think they do enough on this show.
Yeah, for real.
I don't think they do enough on this show.
Right.
Damn. Sometimes
they hit it real good. Most of the time it's pain.
So when they're on, and when they're off, they're off.
They're all the way off.
At least they're not lukewarm.
At least they're not lukewarm.
Damn.
gotta break that down a little bit, the lukewarm.
Yeah.
Looking at some stuff with that.
Is it going into the casual believers as well?
It is. Mm-hmm. It was part of the casual believer stuff. I was gonna bring it out when I was planning to do that class.
Right.
I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, you touched on it for us here for the new moon here locally, right?
Right.
For the brothers and sisters that don't know what you're talking about, Deacon did a very good class, self-examining class, like always.
Well, like I said, that class is part of the, like, I would take a piece of that and throw it in the casual believers.
Mm-hmm.
I just got to see how I condense it down.
You said it was like rough notes, right? Like starter type of thing?
It goes with it.
Ruminations, y'all. Ruminations.
Mm. It goes with, yeah, because that wasn't even a class for me. Like, that was just me.
No, bro.
Just my thoughts, man.
We were in there like, what?
I put that together in like 30 minutes just off of stuff that I was thinking on that was in my spirit.
Oh, hey, God. I got a question for you.
It's not always like that. Usually a class takes me like a few hours.
Yeah.
How do you know? What scripture to start off with? Like, do you have something or do you just go in?
I don't. But usually a scripture is what builds the foundation of my whole class. So let's say something happens with somebody or something that I'm aware of or an issue, or maybe I'm talking with a brother, or sometimes it might be a conversation I'm having with my wife that makes me think of something.
Right.
And I'll think and I'll be like, oh, yeah, you know, the scripture says this about that. And then I just start.
Mm-hmm.
I know a lot of people fancy themselves thinkers, but I mean I've always been somebody that's just, you know, very observant.
Mm-hmm.
So like the Yahshua, you know, now, as far as my outspokenness, I think I was type A, like when you deal with the psychology stuff as an adult. But the Yahshua that you know now was actually very introverted unless I was around a select group of people.
Mm-hmm.
Then they kind of knew me a little different. So I was the wallflower. Like, I didn't say much. I kind of just, you know, hung back. I was always kind of quiet and stuff like that. And it was because I would even say that I used to be kind of shy. Like, there was a little bashfulness in me, but I think it was more just because I just was taking everything
observing.
In. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, mm-hmm. and just a lot taking in, but usually, I can't, like, to me, that's too contrived for me to try to say what scripture I'm going to start with. Usually there's a scripture that inspires the class, and that may be the one I start with, or as I'm fleshing it out, maybe I'm like, no, I might want to start here. But
rough, do you write down scriptures, like rough notes, like, hey, I want to touch this scripture, this scripture?
Sometimes. I wish I did it more because I'd probably bring out more topics. But a lot of times it's when I'm driving, so I don't write it down.
That's the best time to think.
Yes.
Yeah. You know, I used to listen to, when I was in New York, mm-hmm. I used to listen to music. Radio stations were better in New York than when I came out here. I was very, I was very disappointed in radio when I got out here.
Yeah.
So I stopped listening to music out here in the car.
Right.
I drive quiet. Very rarely do I put music. Like, if I'm coming out the gym and I'm still feeling the jams I was listening to, I'll play something. I don't listen to music in the car. I either catch up on phone calls, or I'm just in my head. Yeah. Like, my wife gets annoyed. We'll take a road trip. She's like, yo, can you put some music? I'm like, I kind of like it quiet. Like,
mm-hmm.
So I'm thinking. Like, this is, I'm taking the scenery in. I'm thinking, whatever. You rang, sir?
You rang?
Yes, I did. Officer Tobias mentioned that, you know, while driving is a good time to think. But I will point out, it is a horrible time to try to spell maroon.
Right. Oh, right. We got to run that back.
That's right.
So the color is maroon.
Mm-hmm.
But my brother here.
But Tobias has spelling issues.
Spell check, y'all.
And
well, your spell check wasn't working that day.
He called the color of the shirts that were wearing Mormon. I don't know. On my screen, though, they look brown.
Don't they?
Do they?
I think it's the lighting in here.
Yeah.
It's got to be.
Because when I put it on in my closet, it was... That is correct. You are spot on. I'll give you your props. Hey, someone said everybody's mic is low. Do the rest of y'all hear us okay?
Come on, man. Let me put on...
Do the rest of y'all hear us okay? They said the mic is low. Can y'all chime in the comments? Can you hear us all right?
But yeah, usually it's just, so that class that I did for New Moon and then the closing was, for those who don't know, the West Coast is just different time period,
yes.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how California manages it or any of the other schools. I used to have them run a class because of the time difference. But basically, class for us is ending by the time everybody gets here. Because of work and everything else, right? People, we would have to get here like at 4 o'clock, sometimes maybe 5, to catch the broadcast.
Yes.
So we don't really get to watch the broadcast. I'm not talking about Sabbath. We come in when we need to for the Sabbath, but you know, most feast days fall on a weekday,
mm-hmm.
and people by the time they get here from work, it's 8 o'clock,
mm-hmm.
right? And,
our time.
Right. And that's, now it's only 10 in New York, but that's 11 o'clock. They're done, right? Or maybe there's 15 minutes left in the class or something like that.
Right.
So we don't really get to, unless you're watching it yourself. So I wind up usually those days, I'll do a little something here,
yeah.
as a topic. So that was the case for this past New Moon and closing of the feast. So he was talking about that topic. I did. You guys are going to put that up?
Yes.
But you didn't do the first part because we didn't record it.
No, not the first part.
Right, exactly, the beep. So they're going to miss some context from it because I did a recap, but it's not the same. There's a big portion there of the parable of the different types of Israelites.
Yeah, that first class was dope.
That I expounded on a little more.
That's right.
From what I'm aware, I mean, there's so many teachers who know that I haven't seen broadcasted. I went a little deeper into that aspect of it, and that's what set the foundation forward. So what I got to try to do now, my challenge in doing the Casual Believers class, if I do it as one class, because I don't like part twos, I might just do it as two different topics that have overlap if I can't do it, is I got to condense those scriptures and bring it down. But that was inspired by me just kind of reflecting on things and stuff like that. And then I had thought the scripture in Romans 3, you know, about people who don't really display belief.
Their unbelief.
Yeah, I mean, because, you know, you can't really, you kind of can't say if somebody believes or don't. I don't want to say that, but.
You can and you can't. Yeah?
It's like James says in James 2, right? I'll show you my faith by my. Can we get that real quick?
Yes, sir.
And then we'll kind of jump into where we're at. Oh, someone said, what's the name of the Native American? That comes on right after our show, Paul, Israel. And that's called The Native's Hour. That's taught by Captain Gadd, all right? And he goes over a lot of Northern Kingdom topics, especially dealing with, like he goes over a lot of Gaddite stuff occasionally as well. I think he was doing a series recently about some of the stuff that was happening up at one of the reservations, I think, or something. So he comes on directly after us, which is usually about midnight.
Yes.
Yeah, he's like the late show.
Midnight East Coast time.
East Coast.
Yeah, East Coast time. So he's the late show.
And that's on
Thank you.
IUIC Denver. All right, YouTube channel. I just posted it up there, IUIC Denver. Subscribe to IUIC Denver. Captain Gadd be in there throwing some fire.
Yeah. Captain Gadd goes in. I like the energy that he brings to stuff.
Yes.
Yep, I like the brand. Yeah, that's IUIC Denver, so you can go on that. Right? It is like a Ruddy Brown on camera. But it's maroon. But you know what? It's not, I don't know. Is maroon and burgundy slightly? Which one's lighter? Burgundy's lighter, no?
Mormon.
Burgundy's more reddish.
Yeah.
We're going to call this ruddy. We're wearing
burgundy
ruddy
and maroon are sometimes mistaken for
yes.
the same color.
So it is maroon, but we're going to call it ruddy. Yeah, burgundy is redder. I was right. It's more reddish. Right. So if ruddy means if ruddy means red, call him burgundy.
So maroon is a mix of red-brown, while burgundy is a mix of red and purple.
Yeah. Hey, so someone hit it spot on. They said it's a reddish brown. Oh, Princess Court. Yeah, that's maroon. Reddish brown. Okay.
So burgundy actually is what I like more.
All right. Hey, so get that in James real quick because this is what I was saying about the point on belief. And then I'll move on. You guys can wait for the class to be put up. And
I just want to ask a question, man. It's been on my mind, man.
No. That's a good question.
Actually, I can't find this. I'm doing a Spanish class and I don't know what scripture to start on, bro. I'm like, no here, no there, no.
I would just think about the topic and then kind of just see what pops into your head. I think
a lot of the stuff is popping.
I gotta tell you, there's like a process to the class building. I I got better at classroom teaching. See, camp is different because camp, for the most part, there's engagement. So your topic is going to be based on either what you see. Mm-hmm. So like if the camp is slow, it's going to be on what you see, mm-hmm. right? If you're not seeing anything because it's that slow, then what do you default to, like the history or mm-hmm. repentance? Or it's going to be based on engagement and dialogue. Right. Mm-hmm. So you're going to be able to, you're going to ask somebody a question and then you're going to deal with their question right. and so on and so forth. Right. Classroom teaching is different because you're, and so is a radio show, in my opinion. Classroom teaching is different because, you know, you have a pre-selected topic that you're going over. Right. Mm-hmm. And I think you just got to kind of meditate on your topic, excuse me, and see what scriptures come to your mind. And then kind of start with one. And if you're all over the, sometimes I am all over the place with a lot of precepts that come in.
Yeah.
I'll kind of side write them.
Okay.
And then come
That's
back.
What I
so
need
I
to
have
do.
Done that sometimes where I kind of have all the pieces almost like a puzzle. And then I'll hone in on that one precept and then try to see from there.
You start
right.
puzzling.
So there's been times where I've kind of puzzled it in together, right?
Okay.
But I kind of get like, I don't want to say manic, but I get very intensely focused. So I don't like to try to number it all and put it there. So I'll just jot it and put it on the side, like on a post-it.
Okay.
So I'll have like a main sheet that I'm working on.
Right.
And then I'll put the stuff that comes to my head, like on a post-it
Understand.
Next to it.
Okay.
And then I'll see if it like comes
That's
back.
That's
kind
of where
to
I'm at.
Like
I'm all over the place. Mm-hmm. I had a lot of scriptures that come into my mind. I'm like, mm-hmm. yeah, ooh, oh yeah. Mm-hmm. But then I don't know where to start.
Yeah.
And I don't know how to, I haven't structured it.
And it's interesting, radio show, very rarely do I prepare precepts. I used to.
Yeah.
And I used to have, like, my process was different, and then I think as I've got, so this is the point I was going to make about classroom teaching, but I'll start with the radio first. It started where I would want to be super prepared, but I found it became problematic because then that would mean I would have to do, like, especially if we're reading articles or whatever, a lot of prep work and things like that, and that's fine if you have the time, but when my time became at a premium, I couldn't do that. So a lot of times I'll just kind of go off of the content that drives me. And then we've kind of built the rapport where we're all kind of firing on scriptures that come to our head.
Yeah,
so it became so it evolved into its own flow where it became very conversational. And I know not everybody's like that. That's fine. That's how this radio show is presented. Others are more formulaic,
mm-hmm.
right? And how they do it.
But you do at least you and I know that you. Whenever it comes to articles and web pages and stuff like that, you actually read them and they're like, oh, snap, this is
yeah.
the point right here.
The ones where we touch on history a lot,
yeah.
That one will be a little more structured because I need to do in a certain order when I bring that stuff out.
Right.
But when we're doing kind of topics like this or whatever, it's
right.
more just kind of like let's
free stuff.
Let's yeah. see where we go with that. Now, what I was going to say about classroom teaching, when I first got here for classroom teaching, it was an evolution for me. And, you know, we had the benefit. This is before we used to watch the extra. It was only one class. We didn't have the morning, noon, and all this other stuff.
Right.
And so I had the opportunity to teach every Sabbath here for
yes.
mm-hmm. 4 years.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And that really helped build me up as a teacher.
Mm.
And I always taught on things that I saw here, because what you had to consider was every congregation has the same spirits that the Bible tells you, but they kind of run through and surface for a season.
Mm-hmm.
Like they don't happen just one, like it's not one. So if there's a lying spirit in the body, there's like a few things going on with that, right?
Mm-hmm.
If there's an envy, murmuring, there's
right.
a few things that are
Hatred.
Going on with that. So sometimes, because I was considering how new a lot of people were, rather than where we pull people up sometimes now that are more seasoned here to deal with them, I had the opportunity to deal with it in a class most of the time. And that's how I was able to kind of work through here. Now, you know, now we watch the broadcast, so you can't really got that. But that's why we have like the things like Monday Night Law and
yep.
things like that. So really, you guys as leaders, you should be, your finger should be on the pulse of the congregation, and that's the type of stuff you guys should be teaching. It should never be hard for you to find a topic because you guys are privy to the stuff that's going on in the body,
mm-hmm.
and you can kind of go ahead and teach on that stuff because that's needed, right? Like when Paul wrote his letters,
right.
They were very specific to what was going on in those churches,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
Corinthians had everything under the sun, right? But Romans, right? He was going more. What's the main theme in Romans? Y'all got to understand about the Gentiles and who they are, right? Because they was on this that, no, they cannot come back in, right? Mm-hmm. When you were dealing in Ephesians, he was talking about marriage a lot, right? In Galatians.
Sacrifice.
Right? So he was going into stuff like that. So yeah, those were the things that those churches were dealing with. Mm-hmm. Even Christ, when he broke down the seven churches, there was overlap in some of the things that he spoke about with them, but they all had something distinctive that needed to be addressed.
Right.
Right? And so in that last writing, in that last book of the scripture, he addresses them one last time in the spirit as those seven foundational churches of what was left after he rose, right? And then from that, everything else sprung up. So it's very important, especially now that we have these schools, for all these brothers that have schools, don't get into the habit of just watching the screen. We do that on Sabbath. You get edification from your senior leadership, from the captains on up, right? And whatever's in their spirit of a topic. Occasionally it's something. But to get that thing, that specificity, that's up to you guys in your congregation. Like, I don't know what's going on in your congregation unless I'm inquiring or you tell me. So that's your opportunity to then teach on that. Right. So it's not just like, oh, well, let me just bishop and some of the deacons just went over some prophetic stuff. Let me bring that here. No, you should be dealing with it, your congregations, the things that your congregations need to purge out of them. And that's how you're going to wind up building that stuff up. So. All right. But yeah, don't overthink it, you know, and the more you teach, the more fluid it'll become for you as you go through those things. So. Right. James? Let's read this in James real quick.
The book of James, chapter 2.
I'm glad you're reading it because we're going to have to beep him if he read it.
The book of James, chapter 2 and verse 17. Even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone.
Right? So faith is the first thing you think of with belief, right? When you talk to the general population about belief, they're always talking about faith, faith, as if it's something that's not seen, right? But when you're, I've said this before, I don't know how I said it. I know they were running with a quote with it for a while, but if your faith is weak, you're going to make excuses. If it's strong, you make it happen, right? And this is what James is saying as we read on. Go ahead, come on.
Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works.
Right? So, and very specifically, historically, what you're thinking about here is even there they had, so that's why James was writing about a lot of this stuff in that time, because what was going on there was you had some that were saying, you know, you don't got to worry about the demonstration part, you just the belief, right? Much like you hear today, right? But he's saying here, look, some of you are going to just hang your hat on your faith, but that's not enough alone, right? And that's what Christianity is built on today. Yes. They tell you that. We know that's an agenda. That's part of a crafty council why they have it like that. But that's what it's built on today, is just believe, and you don't got to worry about anything else. But when you believe something, there's action behind it. And that goes for anything, right? So, for example, so you sports heads. Usually when you interview somebody who made the winning shot or they're always on in the clutch, how do you do it? How do you do it? I believe it. I believe that I'm capable. I don't let doubt enter in my mind. Right. And then that translates into what?
Action.
Action.
Damn.
Because I could sit there and believe. Thank you for the beep. That translates into action. We'll explain the beep later when I give him mercy later, but we'll see. All right? Right? You'll see that with, like, these terrorists and the jihadis and all that stuff like that, right? They believe so much.
Yes, they do.
People are like, damn, how do you strap a bomb to yourself and run in and just kill some strangers and stuff like that? Because they believe in their cause, right? That's a more of a
it's faith.
Negative type of appeal to it. But my point is faith pushes you to do something, right? I'll give you a very oversimplified version of faith and works before we read on in James. You get up and go to the job that you hate every day because you believe that they'll give you a paycheck every week, right? And then over time, because you get that paycheck every 2 weeks or bi-monthly or weekly, whatever your pay cycle is, that helps build your belief that you go. So you actually have faith in your employer to give you your check. And the reason I say it's faith, because sometimes that don't work out, right? You go and you cash a check and the company went under, and right, and it bounces, right? There's been situations like that, right? But, I mean, and I'll take it even further. When you start a new job, usually depending on the week that you start on, you might not get paid for 3 weeks if it's a biweekly cycle, right? But you keep working those 3 weeks until that paycheck comes because you believe that you're going to – so there's – you work – because you believe that there's a benefit at the end of it, right?
Yeah.
And then you start to see that benefit, which is what happens the longer you keep these commandments, right? It should evoke change in you, right? And this is why you hear, like, be doers of the word and not just hearers, so on. So James kind of goes heavy into that sort of stuff, right? So read this from the top again.
Yea, my man may say, thou hast faith, uh-huh. and I have works.
Uh-huh.
Show me thy faith without thy works.
You can't. He's basically saying you can't. Show me thy faith without thy works. Go ahead, come on.
And I will show thee my faith by my works.
Right, because that's how it works, right? Uh-huh. And then go ahead, continue on.
Thou believest that there is one God. Thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble.
I don't know if that's the part, or maybe it was above it where he says, therefore faith without works is dead.
Verse 17, uh-huh. even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead being alone.
Right, so the faith don't mean nothing if there's no works behind it, right? So your belief is what's going to move you to do things, right?
Mm-hmm.
All those brothers that went on the quest, right? I see how I circle it back to the topic. All those brothers that went on the quest,
mm-hmm.
right? You could talk.
Yeah, I'm talking.
I talk it, I heal.
They believe in what they're doing. This is why they'll go to a strange country, all this stuff, you know, put their money up to go to a trip, you know, because they believe in what they're doing. So it's demonstrated by works. That's why when brothers are full of crap, or sisters even, right? You don't believe.
Mm-hmm.
You don't believe. If you believe, there would not be all this yellow makes me sad excuses.
Snowflake.
All brother. This other stuff. Right. Snowflake. There would not be any of these things as to why things don't happen. When you believe, you find a way. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Hey, a lot of us went to the quest by faith and not by sight. We didn't look at our bank accounts one day.
Stop the cap.
I just kidding.
Oh,
that's
goodness.
2 weeks without pay for me, bro. Damn.
Right. You were going to bring something out?
No.
I saw you turning pages and stuff like that.
There was something, but I forgot.
And then you got your Spanish Bible. So are you working on your class while we're doing the show?
No. I've been.
Okay.
Yeah, man.
I know. I got to transfer a lot of my highlights and notations to my Spanish Bible.
Yep.
Yeah, it makes it a little easier when I'm digging through to find it.
Trying to get the words locked in because everything's not the same. The same words are not in, you know.
Right, which is why we're working on modifying that.
And it's
the team has been doing really good.
It's bugging the hell out of me because
Sometimes you'll go for a precept
and
in Spanish it says something
same,
different.
Right.
Yeah.
So like Psalm 23, I was reading it today, and he says, "This kid messing up." It says English. It says, "He restored my soul."
See what I said at the beginning of the show about the sound?
He restores my soul.
Test. So in Psalm 23, he says he restores my soul. In Spanish, it's just like he comforts me. That's all it says. It doesn't say nothing about he restores.
Mm-hmm.
So it pisses me off because that's a very good scripture to use. Can't use it in Spanish. You see what I'm saying? Now, I'm looking into different versions, like the older Reina Valera is what we use. We use Reina Valera 1960.
Yeah, but we're going to fix that. We're going to publish.
Yes, sir.
We're going to publish the. It's pretty much the Reina Valera. We're just going to make some edits so that the translation is more appropriate.
Yep.
That's more appropriate to what it says. Because, and before you get all uppity, somebody will take that clip. See, they're changing the Bible. Like, I'm talking about like our detractors. It's no different than when they take an NIV because they wanted to make the KJV seem more plain to people.
Yes.
Except the difference is there's certain words in English that they don't have in Spanish. So you have to try to find a comparable word, right? And a lot of times it's watered down, right? So it's about making the adjustment so that it holds true to being a more direct translation of the KJV.
So that's how kind of like the Spanish, the 1960 Reina Valera.
Yeah,
that is
the closest. There are a bunch that need to be fixed, but
no, 1909 is better.
The Reina Valera 1909.
Mm. 1909. Mm. I've been looking at that one. I've been using that one like online, but I don't have it physically. I gotta buy it. It's on Amazon. 1909. Mm. Better.
Hey, what's the scent of the night?
Hey, Rubén,
hey,
take it away.
Yeah, the scent of the night for Manly Bad to Dignity is.
Oh wait, wait. He's on band.
Gotcha, bitch.
Look, without
cherry tobacco,
without blowing up the brother's spot. All right,
damn.
He was in some simp mode stuff.
Damn,
last
simping,
week.
Simping.
Oh, snap.
He was. I'm not gonna say what it was. All right.
Oh,
he was. He was in some simp mode stuff last week.
Oh, damn.
And I cannot believe the simplicity.
Damn.
The
simplicity.
Damn.
I marveled.
I marveled.
I marveled at his unbelief.
Oh,
so I told the producers that every time he talks, beep him and throw up the stop sign.
Damn.
Until I give him the green light to speak.
Oh, my God.
Test.
But I need him to talk about
The scent.
So,
we got tonight, Rubén.
So you
yes.
could let him speak, and that's he's over here doing this and all this. And mind you, he'd have said a whole bunch of stuff like that, but you know, let it be a lesson to you to not simp any of you.
Oh my God!
Or you will get peeped.
Do it,
simping.
Or you will get peeped on the show. All right.
Yes, sir.
Go ahead. The scent of the night is cherry tobacco.
Mm.
I got to be candid. I don't know that I've ever used that one.
That one's
you got to.
Fire,
it's still
bro.
Some sense I haven't
yeah,
messed with.
That one's fire.
To.
Hey, I'm taking it back to the original. Aaron's Precious Ointment.
Oh, that's a nice one.
Damn. Elixir.
Hey, that one has some apple in it.
Oh, snap.
I forgot how you say it. Patchouli. It got a lot of good essential oils that give it its unique type of scent. It got some good stuff.
Hey, so this is what I've been doing. So.
Bergamot.
I've been on the routine.
You can talk now. You don't got to.
Hey, repentance is a process.
is that your defense?
Repentance is a process.
Is that it? It is a process.
Simping is a process.
Simping is a process.
Hey. So I've been on the routine. I've been doing the juice, and then I've been doing.
You juicing?
I'm juicing. And then I've been doing the right post. I brought this for tonight because it's night elixir. And then on where I do have some, I use the, help me, Drakkar?
Oh, Drakkar Nights.
Oh, Drakkar Nights. Yeah, that one's nice.
Yeah.
It's a little more bold, that
yes.
scent. Mm-hmm. Oh, the scent, this is one of our original scents.
Mm-hmm.
This is the Aaron's Precious Ointment. We still have plenty of this one available as well. This was the first run of the product that we did because we're damn near selling out of the kits. So the kits are going away as far as them coming packaged together.
Right.
But you can still build your own kit, all right, with the code MBD20 by any three products.
Premium, the premium product.
Right. Buy any three products.
There it is
and,
right there.
And you'll get a discount.
Full screen, okay,
to build your own package, right? So you can still get this one. So Solomon's Wisdom is the individual. This only comes in the,
that's a daytonic
in the kit. Right. We're running out of the kit and we might not reproduce this one.
Really?
Oh, don't
yeah.
do
but wasn't
it.
This, yeah. so let me ask you a question.
We might not reproduce. It's just the supplier's been hard and they wound up basically trying to pirate and sell this.
Yeah, that was
on
the one.
Own.
On, yeah.
Yes.
Online, bro.
Right.
Yes. On eBay and other places.
And they're selling it on sites where it'll be hard to kind of cease and desist them because they're not subject to U.S. laws.
Mm-hmm.
So
hey, so let me ask you this. So this was for the scruff.
That was the scruff bomb, right?
Yes.
So that was the thicker.
So right. this was to help you grow, brothers. So understand, the reason I'm using this, someone said, which one was this? This is Aaron's Precious Ointment.
But that was the original scent. That was
yes.
the one that started.
In the
on.
Kit.
In
the kit.
No, go down.
And
not
in the
kit.
Yeah, Aaron's Precious Ointment was in the kit.
Oh, you don't have it separate?
No, I think Solomon's Wisdom is separate.
Yeah,
oh, okay. Mm-hmm. But this is the night one. So this is for night. Okay, put the blue one.
Yeah.
Put the blue one up. That's for the daytime. All right, go down.
Right. So we started off with a day and night, and then you got scruff and
so
beard.
That's a day tonic. All right. I use that during the day.
Slightly different formulation.
This is the night.
Mm-hmm. And then you got the night elixir.
And this is because I don't got stuff on the side, man.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, this is – I've taken it back. Mm-hmm. I've been on the routine with this. And then where I do have some stuff, right, put me back on the camera, bro.
Mm-hmm.
Cause just like Deacon, I want to get there.
Right.
We're going to get there.
Right.
No, but where I do have some, I'm wearing the premium beard oil.
All right. You got to turn it.
That's the Dracar Nights. Got the little, trying that out with the little 10 milliliter.
Yes.
Dracar Nights.
Yeah, there you go. Hey, but I got to get up on that cherry tobacco, man.
It's good.
You use that one, too?
I just ordered some.
Yeah.
All of the tobacco line.
The dancers, you like the cool waters. That one's good,
All of them.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, how many tobacco lines?
Oh, you know,
vanilla.
I like that tobacco cedar.
Cedar.
That thing has a nice
and cherry
to it too.
Damn.
Yeah.
Yeah, we got a bunch, man. We got a bunch. Ooh, I haven't tried the mint coffee.
Refreshing.
Yes, right. Someone said my favorite is Cool Waters.
Hey, you know which one I ran out of? And I got that sandalwood bourbon is very nice.
I haven't tried that.
Oh, it's very nice. It's very nice. I mean, just thinking about it, right? So the cognac and Cubans are still probably like my top choice, right? That's cognac.
Cognac.
Right?
Cognac.
So now you got the bourbon, and it gives it just a whole different type of
Now, I just built the kit with the cognac and Cuban. I got me another foam wash.
Okay.
Oh, by the way, that foam wash, you can feel it. It takes all of the oils and everything out your beard, and it's like a fresh palate.
Yep.
And then you back it up. If it's at night, put your little oil on there.
Yeah. Mm.
So I got the cognac and Cuban oil that I put on the face at night, and then I use the butter in the daytime.
The Scruff Bomb kit is not coming back. The equivalent of that is going to be the growth oils, because we have growth and regular, and the balm instead of the butter. All right, so it's kind of just a renaming of the product, and we added diversity to it. So if you were looking to the equivalent of the Scruff Bomb kit, that's the growth line. So we have all the scents in the growth oil, and instead of butter, you get the balm, all right? Because the butter, it melts down more. So it's not going to – that's for longer beards,
right?
Because it soaks in better. The balm is a little more tacky, like that Scruff balm, right? The Scruff had like a little bit of like kind of a rougher texture to it. What took the place of that is the balm, which kind of – it's just thicker. So like when you warm it up to put it on in your hands, like so, right? It stays a little tackier because it'll stick to the shorter hairs better, right? Rather than just run off the cheek.
Hey, also, real quick. Hey, if y'all brothers are using Manly Badge of Dignity, hey, send us like a little 1-minute testimonial of how you like the products, what it's done for you. If you've seen any results from it, we would love to hear from you so we can start showing everybody.
Brother Alvin said I was going to take a picture and tag you on Instagram of all the ones I got, but figured I would ask if that's cool first. Yes,
we want
y'all to talk about it, so go right ahead.
Hey, if they want to drop them in the DMs on Instagram at IUIC Phoenix,
send
it to us there. Right.
So, yeah, you could at IUIC Phoenix on Instagram, and you could drop them in the DMs there.
Yeah, we're going to start featuring y'all on our pages.
Yeah, yeah, and we could throw that out. So what'd you say now? Say it again. You want to do what?
Like a little 60-second video.
Okay. All right. Okay. All right. Talk about it a little bit.
Yeah, so like I was saying, we would love to hear y'all thoughts and y'all feedback on the products. You know, we're not only – what you call that? You're not only the president, but you're also the client.
I'm also a client.
Yes, he's also a client, and the rest of us in here. Wait, are you up on the?
You still on the barbershop? Dirty like that.
You still on the barbershop?
I've got a couple on the way.
Okay. All praises. So everybody's repenting in here. We all got the MBD.
Hey, that's a testament, though. You know, the brother's on a budget. You know what I'm saying? He's on a budget, but he's finding a way to budget in. It's beer stuff.
All praise.
He became a believer.
Yeah.
Let me tell you, when cheap brothers spend money on stuff.
Right.
You know.
Damn. Did you use the code? Did you use the discount code?
Yeah. Hey, one more time. Which one's for growth as far as of this one? Is it the butter or the balm?
The balm. The balm's for the short beards.
For growth.
Growth. Right?
So balm is for growth. Butter is if you got some stuff already.
Butter, butter is if you got some
So for brothers like me, we need the balm.
Yeah.
And the growth oil. Yeah. Brothers like,
yo, why my wife, when she want to be funny, she'll be texting me so like I'll ask her a question. And she'll text me, not the soundbite, but she'll type it like, I'll be like, yo, you want this for dinner? You know, like if I'm going to buy something.
Yeah.
She goes, yeah.
Oh, no.
Damn. I said, you're killing me with that.
Oh, that is hilarious.
I said, you're killing me with that.
Oh, goodness.
That's hilarious, bro.
I said, the yeah just means something different now.
Damn.
I said, oh, my gosh.
Where to purchase this original royalty?
Sorry, sir. That is getbeardgames.com.
Hey, I put it in the chat for him, too.
It's in the chat, getbeardgames.com. Yeah, because that's going to take you right to it. Well, she's hilarious with that, Princess Core. She's not – she fancies herself – I forgot. Somebody asked her, like, who's the funny one? And she tried to – I think one of my kids' teachers, and she's like, Dad's going to say it's him, but I think it's me. And I'm like, it is me. I'm the funny one.
You know what, though? We should also maybe get her thoughts on what she thinks about you.
You heard that? You heard that?
Yeah.
The officer said that we're going to have you do a testimonial on what you think about. Right. So that's going to be the next campaign, right?
Yes.
Remember, I sent you a little thing. We're going to have some of you wives that your husband's using the manly badge of dignity. We want y'all to give a little testimonial about what you like and, you know, so on and so forth. So, yeah. So
be candid.
Yeah. She can be funny, Princess Core, but she's not habitually. See, now she posted in here. Yeah. See, that was good. Yeah. That was good. That was funny. Oh, snap. Damn. She caught me with that when I was like, damn, will you stop? I'm being serious now.
Damn.
Like, yeah. She ain't always like that, though, right? She ain't always like that. But
I'll praise
her. Hey, he almost sounded like Lil Jon on the Dave Chappelle skit.
Yeah. Nah, but it's good, though. It's nuanced because Lil Jon did it, you know.
Yeah.
He did good, bro. Yeah. He did good with that one, boy. Mm-hmm. He had the pause and everything when we read it. That thing was funny. Still funny.
Hell yeah, man.
Hey, you still waiting on the order. Hey, while I'm at it, I don't know. I'm not saying to some of y'all. You don't know how many orders I get returned because y'all didn't put your address in right.
Oh, damn.
Oh, my gosh. Man, some of y'all be ordering from OR, and then you mad at us. You put your address in wrong. How am I supposed to know that's the right address? Bruh. You know, the system has a little thing that try to help you recognize it, but...
Suggested address.
Right.
And then you mad at us because you put your address in wrong. Y'all need to pay attention to detail. Mm-hmm. I'll tell you, the amount of stuff that I see in Israel from all levels, but especially having dealt with original royalty, for people that are supposed to read the scriptures,
damn,
some of y'all do not read anything at all.
Mm. Damn.
Bro, let me get some of y'all. I have it in the product description of the men's camp garment.
Mm-hmm.
Put the rank patch that you want in the notes.
Uh-oh.
You don't know how many times people order and do not put the rank patch.
Stop it.
And then we're trying to reach out to them to say which rank you want. And they're like, oh, my order hasn't come yet. Because you didn't say which rank patch you want.
Right.
Stop it. Get some help.
For real. Get some help from someone that can read.
All right. You know, and the retort would be, well, why don't you – listen, I don't want to pay for a plugin that's going to have the option for you to pick the rank patch, all right? I shouldn't have to pay for that when you could just read. Because that's an internal product. That's not a customer-facing product. That's an internal product.
And, you know, it makes it a lot more difficult when you're asking for feedback on what we can improve on, and you just need to improve on your paying attention to detail.
You just need to pay attention to detail, man. Oh,
damn.
Goodness. Some people are
– get some help.
I'll tell you, I pick up the package, says insufficient address, return to sender. Like, damn.
Man,
we're supposed to read. Bro, that's probably the number one reason stuff comes back.
Mm-hmm.
Stuff comes back. And then you mess up because it's not our fault. Now you got to pay shipping again for sending it back to
damn.
You. Pay attention.
We are the salt of the earth.
This is what people get bamboozled, bro. Like, they're signing a contract. They're reading something. I didn't understand that.
Mm-hmm. Got my quick.
My goodness.
All right.
Anyway.
What we got going
quest
on?
Quest 6.
Talk to me.
No, you talk. You were excited to talk about it.
No, that was last week. And then I said, look, we're not going to go into it. You're like, no, we'll get to it.
Okay, but people want to hear about it. So why don't you start off?
Well, where do you want to start? The bad or the bad?
No, start with the excitement. Start with the excitement.
It was great.
I don't know where I'm going to go with this yet.
I don't know where I'm going to go with this either. Okay, I know where I'm going
to
start.
Oh, God. Talk about it.
Oh, God.
Colombia.
They can't talk about it.
Yeah, we're listening.
They don't go nowhere international.
Whoa.
Oh.
You went to Israel?
Whoa.
One time?
Whoa.
Where else you been?
I've been to Mexico.
Nope.
Damn.
I got it. See, you. Thank you. Put that up. Wait a minute.
Israel was, that was international.
That was international.
But that was all the way international.
But that was five years ago.
Damn.
I know. I'm going to tell you worse. It's not, yes, it's the nations, but it's not the nations randomly. It's the factory that made the first product for me.
Mm-hmm.
They made it for me.
Yes.
And then sold it on their own.
Mm. Yes.
Oh,
that's exactly what they did.
Damn.
Yes. So that's why I switched providers. Yep.
Okay.
So Israel doesn't count.
Yeah, it counts.
What are you talking about?
But
Mexico
was,
don't count.
I say Israel.
No.
Israel don't count.
Max, see,
stop the cap.
Wait. Israel.
You know what?
Wait,
put him back on beep.
Damn.
Beep.
Thank you.
When he ceases and desists his semantics, then we could take him off beep.
Mm. Hey man, the quest was great. I've been telling you.
I know it's like what 2-3 weeks after already.
Yeah.
But
hey, the quest was great. I think I will say that I want to put this out there. It was great to be around Bishop Nathaniel because. It's too many people now, and I've been talking to you about
this. I'm glad you're saying it here because I think it was kind of weird.
No, it wasn't weird.
He tells me like last week or the week before, like, can you tell Bishop that I really enjoy being around him on the quest?
Not like that, bro. No, but when you make that.
I said. I said, Bishop kind of likes you. And if I do that,
no,
I think
man.
He's gonna think you're weird.
Well, when you make that,
I said,
no, man.
I don't think I'm gonna tell him that.
Yeah.
No, you said you're gonna switch up the letter. I said, you know what I mean, man. You know what I mean. No, it was good because there's a lot of brothers now, a lot of people now with not the right intentions. So we can't really be around him like that. Only if you like, you know. Up there with him and security captains and stuff.
Yeah, you're right. It's a different time.
I mean,
for all of us
yes.
in senior leadership, especially after the I've said it before, I think on the show that after the BS in 2018, and all the drama that came out of that, I think it taught all of us that, unfortunately, you can't really have not everybody has your best interests. Not everybody's fully rooted and grounded in this. You can't really have too many people close to you like that because when they bug out, they're going to try to take everybody down with them, mm-hmm. even if it's fabricating lies and
right.
and deceit.
Right. So
and, you know, then I just got to think about safety for, like, me and my family and stuff
right.
like that, too. So, you know, that's why I don't really have, you know, I remember when I first got my house out here, I was having brothers over and all types of stuff. And I don't have everybody over no more, you know? I don't have everybody
hell
over no,
no.
More. I'd rather them not know where I live. Mm-hmm. And then if you do know where I live, you know, just know that I come correct.
That's right.
If you try to show up on my doorstep.
Don't
right.
test testosterone.
Don't test testosterone.
I'm just going to say that. You got.
Uh-oh. Don't do it.
The house is not your average fortification.
That part.
Mm. Mm. Mm-hmm. Word to the wise should mm-hmm. be sufficient. Mm-hmm. It's not your average fortification. Mm-hmm. All right. Even for a rude away. You know, like Home Alone.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Damn.
Booby traps everywhere.
Boobies. Let me just say that.
Yeah.
That crazy.
You know, and that'll keep it mild. Home Alone, but the adult version.
Oh, damn.
All right.
All
don't come knocking.
Step on
damn.
All right. But go ahead.
No,
so you said you really enjoyed the opportunity to be around
Bishop,
him.
Asking questions.
Yeah, I think a lot of that gets taken for granted.
Yes, it does.
I would learn in his house. You know, he opened up his house once upon a time. And, you know, we would come to his basement and stuff like that. And, you know, it was that takes a lot, you know. I remember he had to blast us because his couches were breaking and everything. We were messing
damn.
Up his house, bro.
Yeah.
I know that we'd be animals about it, but, you know, we had to, like, kind of put some order and stuff and do some things like that. I think a lot of congregations started that way at one time, but things are different now. You got people really creeping in unawares, don't have the
yes.
best interests in
yes.
mind. Got a lot of weirdos and things like that. I know some people come and, you know, some of the protocols that we have for when you come through the doors and things like that, a lot of people kind of get turned off about that. But my thing is, again, use the faith example at the end of that. You know, I think I think when you start to understand the severity of what we're in, it's challenging like
yeah.
that. So yeah, that was a really nice experience for a lot of brothers to be able to be around that depth
especially
of wisdom
that we don't
and stuff.
See him like that
mm-hmm.
often.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I mean, we had it all the time, and you know, that was one of the things I missed a lot when I left New York, is like coming up to the table and just kicking it with him and the rest of the deacons and
right.
stuff like that, and just kind of having that liberty. I remember the first time I was taking him on an errand, and it was the first time I was going to be alone with him in the car. I was driving him somewhere for an errand now. And
were you nervous?
I was nervous as hell, because I said, what the hell am I? I'm going to be with him for 4 hours by myself. What the hell am I going to talk to him about?
Mm-hmm. Damn.
And I said, I don't want to seem contrived, right? Like, I have a list of questions I want to ask you.
Right.
Like, you know, like, well, you know, what the hell am I going to talk about? You know, I'm not going to talk about sports and things like that, because, like, you know, he's so
right.
grounded in the scriptures. He don't give a damn about no sports and stuff like that. You know, like, what the hell am I going to talk to him about? And you know what? It kind of just went real chill. It was nothing whatever. And, you know, just you looking back, I just thought of that because, you know, it's like, damn, you know, right? Like, what do you
yeah.
say? Like,
exactly.
I know I had one brother, one northern came, he was like, hey, man, you know, I saw you talk to Bishop there. Like, I never met him and I wanted to walk up to him, but like, I don't even know how to do it. And I said, look, I said, don't be rushing up to him.
Right.
Like, you know, mm-hmm. I say, you know, you could come to where he's at, you know what I'm saying? And kind of try to get his attention from, you know, a few paces.
Right.
You know what I'm
it's
saying?
Kind of different approach.
And just be like, hey, you know, I've never met you, you know, personally. I wanted to introduce myself. I'm soldier so-and-so, officer so-and-so, whatever. I said, let him dictate, you know, if he wants you to come close or not or stuff like that,
right,
you know?
Right.
I mean, and that's the reality of what we got going on now. You don't just start, you know?
Coming up.
Yeah.
Right. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right. That was good. The countries was great, man. All praise Him Most High. Costa Rica, Panama, Colombia. I think so.
Which was your favorite?
Colombia.
Oh, I think he rang before too, right?
Yes, yeah. You did. Thank you.
My bad, officer. I gotta run it back real quick, Officer Ravine.
Yes.
What they doing, man?
Why did you say boobies?
Yes, he did.
Booby trap.
No, bro. You said boobies.
Booby trap.
What the hell is this?
Oh.
Booby trap.
No, you did it. You pulled a Tobias, bro.
I think it's that side of the...
Yes. Yes, it is.
I'm sorry, but
I think it's that side of the table.
Damn. Yes.
Like, there's a line right here.
There's a line right here.
The line goes this
Stop
way.
The cow.
Booby trap.
Because you was the new booties in the booth.
Booties.
And now you're the boobies.
Right, I was making a reference and he was like, boobies.
Booby trap. No, but you didn't say booby trap. You said boobies. Just
yes,
boobies.
Sounded like Officer Tobias said booby traps.
That little annoying kid from Game of Thrones. That he was like 10 years old still sucking on his mother's titty.
Yeah,
damn.
Joffrey.
Yeah.
No, it wasn't Joffrey.
No.
It was... the one from the veil that she had to hold,
oh,
that she
yeah,
was going
yeah,
to
kick people through the
hole. Had a whole 12-year-old sucking on the titty.
Damn.
For the boobies.
Whatever. You just wanted to say that.
No, it was the context of where he said boobies, sis. That was the issue.
Yes.
Right. It was the context of the it was supposed to be booby traps.
Yes, right. It was booby trap.
And I don't know where his mind is, and he thinking, and he just said boobies.
Booby trap.
Right.
Yeah. Exactly.
Right. So go ahead. So the stops. So name the stops on the quest.
It was Costa Rica.
Uh-huh.
Panama.
Uh-huh.
Colombia.
Uh-huh.
Aruba.
Uh-huh.
Curacao.
Okay. All right.
My
talk
favorite.
To talk to me. Talk
so,
to me.
All right.
Because you were first timer.
First timer.
Right. Okay.
First timer. I didn't get sick. All praise the Most High. I didn't get sick. Like, I felt dizzy at times, but that didn't, like, take me out to where brothers were like, yo, I got to go to the room. I feel sick. So all praises for that. But I will say this. When we got down, I felt like this. All I kept on was this.
Yeah, because you had your sea legs. Still,
yeah.
So you were compensating for the
yeah.
for the whole thing. Right.
No, man. It was good. Being able to see our people out there, and you see black people, and you think it's just like they all speak English.
Mm-hmm.
But no. It's like, no, they speak in Spanish, bro. You quick. And you're...
Yeah, I was saying, like, in Panama, it was wild to me because when you deal with, like, Central America, a lot of the Central, Some of the east seaboard of South America too. A lot of Benji in the mix.
Yes, yes, yes.
So when we got to Panama, it's funny because we met the guy, for example, we met the guy for the radio show. I'm going to throw it back to you. I'll say my stuff later.
No.
I'm going to throw it back to you because you're all excited to talk about it. I want you to talk about it. When I met the guy for the radio show, right, maybe about a little bit darker than you, Ruvane, and he talking, you know, that Spanish, you know. He had his Panamanian accent, real typical Spanish accent, talking Spanish. Then he switched it up and started talking English to us, and he sounded like Benjamin.
Yes.
So his English has the Benji accent, yes. But his Spanish, right, because you know how, like, people who don't speak Spanish, like you guys, when you speak your Spanish,
we make fun of you.
Right, yes. like you don't have the accent at all, you know what I'm saying?
So you're struggling.
Like you could tell.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
Like
you sound like gringos speaking Spanish.
Right? Exactly.
Hey, listen. My accent's not a typical. Sometimes it's a typical Puerto Rican accent, but my Spanish wasn't learned. I learned my Spanish more in school. My mom was very American. She didn't teach me Spanish.
I learned
what I could from my grandfather, and the rest I learned in school, and then girlfriends. Mm-hmm. So I was able to pick it up that way. So my accent's not really typical.
Right.
Of a Puerto Rican.
Puerto Rican.
And you know, I struggle with some aspects. I'm not fluent. I've gotten a lot better over the years teaching the scriptures. But he had the accent.
Yes,
like, and it was so weird because he would switch to English sometimes because he just felt like switching
and
to English.
And it throws you off, huh?
And I was like,
yes, yes.
Like,
yes.
What the hell? It was like, what's the movie? Not Unbreakable, the other one.
Mr. Glass?
Yes, that, but it's the...
not the third one, the second one.
Yeah.
With the Beast. And when you see all his personalities and the...
It's,
split.
It was like Split. Yep. So it was weird, like you said.
Yes.
So you said you saw dark people.
Yes, our people. And you're thinking, so it's like, no, man, they're Judah. No, they're not Judah, man. And they're not speaking to you in English. So when they speak to you in Spanish, you're like, for me. Right, mm-hmm. It's thrown off because it's like, okay, it's a whole new arena, it's a whole new environment. It was great, man. It was great. A lot of people walking by, flyers were going out left and right. Colombia, you want to speak on Panama on the radio show?
No, we started in Costa Rica. Why don't you talk about Costa Rica? Do it in order.
Well, I got much for Costa Rica. I got more for Colombia because Colombia was hot.
But tell me about Costa Rica. Costa Rica, most of my time was on the TV show.
Yes, the TV show he did. I do want to talk about that. Because camp for me was like just, I will say one thing. So we were at camp, right? And I keep hearing, there's like a little shop right next to us. And it's you just hear like someone like kind of like throwing rocks at the building. It was aluminum. But it wasn't aluminum. It was just mangoes falling down.
Oh, my God.
Bro, I was like, yo, someone's what's going on? It was mangoes falling down. One time I was passing out a flyer. The guy's like, no, don't worry. It's mangoes. Look, bro, mangoes are falling down, like, in the street.
Did you get any?
No, because they're falling on the other side of the fence. Yeah. So I couldn't get any. I did want one, though. But, no, I couldn't get any. I will say this. The TV show that Deacon did, the brother was asking – great.
Martin Montoya.
Yes. Great, great questions, bro. It's like the perfect. Like, you know, once you go to camp and you got to kind of like pull it out of them or you got to like kind of. No, this brother was coming to you like he was just feeding you the answers, man, or the questions. Yes, bro. And you were like, yo, give me that scripture. Give me that scripture. Give me this scripture. I was looking at the replay and I'm like, yo, excited about this because he was just going in on the perfect questions about crime. Family, masculinity, toxic masculinity. What else? It was great, man. It was great. I think it was powerful. It was very powerful. They loved it. A lot of the people in Costa Rica loved it.
Yes. So Costa Rica, I only got like 30 minutes of camp after the TV show because the TV show was 2 hours. It was real good. He was asking good questions. I actually told the brothers to reach out to them this week because he was interested in having us, and he said his station is not a religious station. Like, he was like, you're better off being on my show because the stuff you're talking about is not typical.
Yes.
Right. And it was funny because, you know, like once you get to the image of Christ, And then from there, there's the floodgates open. But, you know, we were talking, and he was like, oh, yeah, okay. Tell him, I said, listen, you've never heard the Bible like we're about to teach you the Bible right now.
This was before camera.
This was before camera.
Okay.
And there was some points in the interview where he was like, oh, but, you know, that still sounds like, you know, typical stuff. Like, near the beginning, if you listen to it. And I said, just wait. Just wait.
Yeah.
And we went in, and after that, it was just like,
yes.
He was just like, boom. He was a good host. He was a good host. And Lord's will, we opened up some more doorways there. Mm. In doing research, as I understood it, I think Costa Rica was going to be one of the harder nuts to crack, so to speak, because they're saying there is pura vida. Mm. And it's just basically like the pure life, like the good life
really?
Is what they have there. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And he was saying that at one point in the show. And they're actually one of the more better off countries, depending on where you're at, in Central America, because they're like a wealthier destination for people to go to and stuff
like
that.
For tourism.
Yeah, so they felt like they were, you know, a little better. So I knew the reception was going to be mixed there. But interestingly enough, you had the cake not turned over there as well.
Yes.
You had the spectrum of the dark to light as well, and you moved there. Because, you know, you got a lot of knuckleheads, and as you notice in each spot, we're going to do that. You got a lot of knuckleheads that think repentance is based on the color of your skin.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people would ask us, why does Christ's color matter? And I told them, because what it leads to and what's being hid from that is a heritage of the original people that's been hidden.
Yes.
But there's no scripture where it says you got to be, you know, black like this book to be saved.
Yes.
Right? We're not saying salvation is contingent on that. Contrary-wise, we're saying on the identity of you being Israelites, which you have to understand the whole spectrum of what we've been through and the history of that in order to understand why we come in various appearances, right? Mm-hmm. That's like when you read at the end of Matthew when he says, go preach ye unto all nations. Well, if we were in the midst of all nations, what eventually happened through all the captivities and everything else, it means you're going to have a varied look amongst our people, right? Mm-hmm. It's going to be a varied look, and that's what gets you to where you get today. Remember, white people cannot give birth to black people, but black people can give birth to both. All
right?
You read that when you read in Genesis with Jacob and Esau being born, right? He's able to do that. And if you look in general of population segments and samplings, all right, white people will not give birth to dark people, but dark people can give birth to both,
right?
And you have different spectrums and shades and stuff like that. Now, my wife's not super dark, but she's darker than me. And my kids just came out light, you know. They got more of the light stuff in them as far as their color, but their features ain't light. You know what I'm saying? The noses are a little different. You know what I'm saying? You know, the head shapes and all that stuff. You know, when you're dealing with trying to put things in a box, I think not archaeology. What's the other one?
Anthropology
has people skewed on this stuff
mm-hmm.
as far as appearance, right? But we have to speak in colloquially. And meaning commonly, and that's why we emphasize black, because that's what most people understand, black, right? Or black and brown.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not really concerning with the color. Maybe I'll talk about it. I don't know. You know, I said I got to run colorism back because that's big.
It was heavy.
It's big in our community. It's big, very heavy in the Northern Kingdom countries. That was one of the things that in Panama, the radio host we were speaking to him about was the colorism aspect. And it just goes to show you the prevalence of how that stuff stays with us even until today amongst our people.
Yeah. Well, everybody kept on asking, we went to, so Costa Rica, Panama, Colombia, why is he being black important? And that was a question everywhere.
Right. Well, you know, is it 1 Corinthians 13 when it says that the scriptures are safe? Mm-hmm. Right. So let's read that first. 13 and I don't know the verse. Is it 4?
Are you talking about John 7:38?
No, where it says believe on him as the scriptures.
John 7:38.
No. Not. There's another one in Corinthians. What is the one in Corinthians?
2 Corinthians 11.
Say?
You're talking about preaches another Jesus?
Right.
Yeah,
that's it. I'm confusing my thoughts. That's it.
2 Corinthians 11 and 4.
The book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 11 and verse 4. For if he that cometh preaches another Jesus, whom we have not preached,
come on,
or if you receive another spirit, which ye have not received,
mm-hmm.
or another gospel, which ye have not accepted.
Come on.
Ye might well bear with him.
Randy, you got to deal with that. We are commanded to deal with people that try to preach another Jesus, right? Mm-hmm. And the scriptures say in Revelations, with that revealing of him,
yes,
that he is a black man according to the scriptures. Just read Revelation 1 and 1 real quick, all right?
The book of Revelation, chapter 1 and verse 1.
Freedom!
Revelation of Jesus Christ.
Uh-huh. So first of all, it's the revelation of Jesus Christ, mm-hmm, right? One of the things we say in Spanish to get people to understand it is when you're, we don't do that now because of digital cameras, but back in the day, you had a film, right? And in Spanish, you say reveal it, right? Hey, I need to, they call it expose in English. That's mm-hmm why in Spanish, for me, this is one of the things I was going to talk about. In some respects, I like teaching in Spanish more because the words are more direct. The English language has so many synonyms mm-hmm to say the same thing that it kind of dilutes the potency of when you read something in a word.
Mm-hmm.
But in Spanish, right, we say revelar el rollo of the mm-hmm film, right? And it's basically, in English, they say expose it. Right. But to reveal in Spanish, that's one of the things we get them. See, it's the revelation of Jesus Christ. Right. Some people in Christianity try to tell you that means it's his revelation, meaning it's something that he understood. And no, this is Christ who understood all things. He had the mind of the Father. Mm-hmm. So when it says the revelation of Jesus Christ is letting you know the Christ that we serve. Right. Go ahead.
The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass.
Right, to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. Come on, read.
And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John,
uh-huh,
who bare record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ,
uh-huh,
and of all things.
Where's the verse where he talks about what thou see right in the book?
The book of
10.
Revelation, uh-huh, chapter 1 and verse 11.
Uh-huh.
Saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. What thou seest, write in a book.
Right. So what thou seest, he saw Jesus Christ and how he appeared,
mm-hmm,
yes, which is why it's written in such detail. That alone is enough as to why we teach his color.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you start to go down the rabbit hole, right? So one of the things we always set up, I'm talking, it's like a formula.
Yes.
We start with Matthew 24, and it says, in English, it says, be careful, be warned, right, that nobody deceives you,
right?
And one of the deceptions is that they came with a Christ, like we read in Corinthians 11, that was not the way the scriptures told them to be. They came with another Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
That by itself is why we have to teach that. And then what comes behind that is the whole identity piece and why we have to go through that and show all that and move in that direction. And I gotta say, when you go about it the right way, as far as dealing with them in those countries, they, for the most part, receive. It's Northern Kingdom here,
right,
that gets uppity about it,
yes,
because they bought into the whole white passing, which we have spoken about on the show.
Exactly.
Yes. They deal with that white passing, right? You can look that up if you want to. I've dealt with that on previous topics.
Yes.
I don't remember when, where that's what creates the effect of somebody who's an Israelite kind of shunning it a little bit because they're able to kind of benefit a little bit from the white influence because of how they might appear.
Mm-hmm.
Until they find out that you're Spanish or Latino. I'll say it that way because it's not really Spanish. It's,
yes,
Latino. And they'll look at that. And so you have this white passing thing. And very few, in my experience, having gone to some of these Central and South American countries now, buck up against that,
mm-hmm,
right, when you go there.
Right.
Mexico, you still get it, but Mexicans are real racist.
Yes, they are.
Mm-hmm.
Mexicans are real racist against dark-skinned people.
Yes,
right?
They are.
Puerto Ricans a little less so because on the island and in the Northeast where we're concentrated – I've gone through this before. You kind of were in the mix with everybody, right? You've seen the movie The Get Down. You see how kind of we flowed,
right,
with each other.
Mm-hmm.
Our conditions kind of made us, at that time, mm-hmm, made us realize we were kind of okay, right?
What about Simeon? Dominicans.
You know, Simeon could be a little...
A little?
No, less so, because there's a lot more darker Dominicans than there are lighter in my experience. But you have that colorism aspect amongst them as well. But anyway, my point was that thing is prevalent everywhere because the guy in Panama was telling me about that and how the darker ones, there's like nicknames for them. I think he called them Chobos or something like that.
Prieto.
Yeah. No. I don't know if he said Prieto. There's a name that he came up for them. And I've gone over that on the show as well. Maybe we have to run it back where it's called like the Castas.
Yes.
And we've shown like the way your societal status mattered based on appearance, right?
Mm-hmm.
And let me tell you how powerful that stuff is, that you'll see that amongst Israel today, even amongst people that are with us here, much more with sisters. And I don't know how much I'm going to get into that, but there's a sentiment of that colorism where the lighter skinned sisters, just from some observations, I don't want to throw a grenade in the room, but I'll open the door a little bit. Are kind of treated a little different by some of the darker skin. I'm not saying all. If the shoe fits, wear it. Mm. By some of the darker skin sisters. And you know that amongst African Americans, you have that as well with the colorism thing. And we know that all goes back to the Willie. And that's why I said I think I got to run the colorism back. That's when I'll talk about it more.
That's that social engineering.
Right. That's that social engineering. I'll talk about it more then. But the darker skin sisters of the Judite variety, have an issue with a lot of the lighter skinned sisters.
Oh, goodness.
Because it's less so with Benjamin, and I think because Benjamin's exposed to us in the Caribbean. It's less so with Levi, because Levi's exposed to us in the Caribbean. I'll leave it at that for now until I go into the colorism topic.
Oh, my God.
Just little subtle, and I'm not saying it's everybody.
Right.
It might not even be on purpose, is my estimation.
Subconsciously.
It's the subconscious conditioning.
Mm-hmm.
This is why that Willie Lynch said how powerful it was that it would continue to turn.
Even Christ,
on its own axis.
Right? Can we get that in Isaiah about the vexation and the envy? I always got to bring this out because it's usually twisted. I hear a lot. I hear Judah bring this out.
Oh, I had to correct a lot of brothers
and
on this.
And
on
they
the
bring
quest.
It out in reverse.
Yes.
This is true.
I had to correct a lot of brothers on the quest, and they're like, "I'm like, no, you're quoting it wrong."
This is one of the scriptures that's really misquoted, and I'm gonna tell you, you gotta ask yourself, you gotta really examine yourself, and especially when you read the scripture, is it the Northern Kingdom, brother? Or is it you with your because a Mexican robbed you one time?
Damn. Yo, I had to correct a lot of
brothers. He took your girl. That you got something inside of you in regards to that. I'm just going to say that. It's not everybody, all right?
I'm just
going to say everybody. Yes, there is a distrusting of the lighter skin. That's exactly what I'm saying on some level.
Willie Lynch.
All right? And it goes back to Willie Lynch because you have the same thing when you're dealing with just the same tribe and the lighter and the darker, right? And it's so subtle that I think unless you acknowledge it, if you automatically say no, you're never going to be able to get over it. There's a perpetuation of what they've done to us in our minds that you don't realize that you might still continue to perpetuate. Right? Go ahead, read that in Isaiah.
This is the book of Isaiah, chapter 11, verse 13.
It's not only on the West Coast. I agree with you, TikTok, to a point.
No,
it's more prevalent on the West Coast.
It's definitely in Atlanta.
But you got it in the East, too.
Oh, yeah.
Go ahead. Read this.
The envy also of Ephraim.
Okay, let's get it. Slow it down.
Bro, what?
It says Ephraim would envy.
Yes.
Ephraim would envy. What does that envy stem from? That Judah is the one with the scepter. All right? It stems from the split and understanding how we were dealt with, and we were dealt with wrong.
We were.
That is not an excuse. we shouldn't have been silly doves.
Right.
Our forefathers should have had the discipline to stand for the Lord.
Right.
And like you read in the New Testament, and suffer wrongfully then.
Yeah.
Right? But that wasn't the case because when you read in that history, it says this is of the Lord.
Yes, it was.
This is how I planned my creation and how my history for my people would play out.
Mm-hmm.
All right? But it does not invalidate the behavior that comes behind that. This is where it switched. They say Ephraim vexing Judah, That's not what the scripture says. All right? Read it from the top again.
The envy also of Ephraim shall depart. And the adversary...
Right, so he's saying in those last days, the envy should depart. And I believe you see that in most. We did have some northern kingdom that left up out of here that had an envious spirit,
right?
Mm-hmm. Right? It did not depart them, and that's why the Most High removed them out the way, mm-hmm. Okay? But I believe you see that now. One of the big topics we spoke about was how northern kingdom was moving, and you're seeing a rise over the past couple years of how we're doing things and how we're moving,
yes,
as far as pushing this truth on one mind and one accord with the Lord's program. With Judah, who has spearheaded the charge for decades.
Right.
And I'm talking about in modern eras, right?
Mm-hmm.
For decades, right? Because it's more than that when you go back how Judah maintained,
yes,
right? For decades in this modern times, all right? And I'm seeing that on a larger scale, that envy. I'm just making my observations. And like I said, at the very least, if there's any respect for me, the position that the Lord has seen fit for me to have, if there's any measure of knowledge in me that people find edifying when I bring things out, then you can't find everything else I bring out edifying and then resist what I'm bringing out to you right now.
Mm-hmm,
okay?
Mm-hmm.
Read it from the top again. Mm.
The envy also of Ephraim shall depart.
Uh-huh.
And the adversaries of Judah.
So my point was you're seeing that really start to happen now. That envy of Ephraim have departed, and we're just going with the program. We're following the footsteps of the tents of Judah being raised first and moving forward, right?
Yes.
Go ahead, come on.
And the adversaries of Judah shall be cut off.
Go ahead.
Ephraim shall not, and Judah shall not vex Ephraim.
So where is, and you said you had to correct a lot of brothers.
Bro. Oh, look at Ephraim. Look at Northern Kingdom. Vexing Judah.
No.
Damn.
That's not what the scripture says.
Look.
Read that part again.
Ephraim shall not envy Judah,
uh-huh,
and Judah shall not vex Ephraim.
Right, and what's the vexation, right? The little subtle things that are, sometimes it's real apparent, right, when you have these knuckleheads that aren't with us, right, with all this type of stuff,
yes,
right? But I'm telling you, it's not because I'm – here's the thing that you got to do for you to receive this,
right?
You have to not – take it as an attack on you or your character and look at it spiritually from what we're reading in the scriptures here.
Dang.
Right?
Okay.
Because I'm going to pause for a moment. We're going to come back to this. Tobias.
Mm-hmm. Tobias. Let's Tobias. Put yes, the camera
sir,
yes,
sir.
On. Tobias. Yes.
What tribe are you from?
Judah.
Hope.
Judah.
What has your walk been like as a so-called black man looking white for all intents and purposes?
White!
White!
White! From the
Blanco.
White, like the Texans say it.
No,
white,
really.
Yeah.
Really. Let's be candid. Tell me what your experience has been amongst other so-called black people.
It's an adventure. It's been like that before the truth.
The truth. You've experienced the colorism.
Right. Yeah.
Right.
It's blatant there, but it's a part of...
In and out of the truth.
In and out of the truth.
Right.
In so, the truth. In the
and
truth.
And I'm using you...
Yes, because you're
so that they
white.
Say it's Ephraim. Oh, of course, Deacon Joshua, you're Ephraim and you're light-skinned Ephraimite. So of course you're going to say that.
Yeah.
You are a Judite.
Put a white
from,
tiger on
from the mighty tribe of Judah.
Roy.
Judah.
Roy.
And I don't say that
white
facetiously
light.
Or sarcastically. From the mighty tribe of Judah.
Okay?
And you've experienced what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
So what I'm saying is you got to examine and accept what the scripture says. And the only way we're going to get past that,
put that up,
is if you look and consider
he's up to some, right?
The spirituality. Because let me tell you something. What it really stems from,
put it up,
uh-huh,
is not the color difference,
right,
on the spiritual level,
right,
but from that spirit of the split that God put in us,
right,
when mm-hmm the kingdoms were divided.
Right.
And its modern manifestation of that is the colorism that's been created through the psychology of the Willie Lynch setup and perpetuated,
right,
everywhere, every day.
Every
because
day.
This
yes
is what you see when they airbrush dark
uh-huh
brothers and sisters.
Yep.
This is what you see when people buy soaps that
yep
lighten their skin
yep
and things
Sammy
like
Sosa
that.
Yeah.
Right?
Sosa.
Like Sammy Sosa and others, Michael Jackson.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, I was doing it so...
Go ahead.
I was doing a class, and I said, why did the statues of the Edomites and the Roman statues, their noses weren't cut off,
right,
but black statues, noses were cut off.
Not a nail nose.
All of them.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
And then, so you have images of, like, the Sistine Chapel, things of that nature. Look at my brother up there. Look at my brother. Look at my brother Tobias up
Judah.
In the screen.
Right.
Hey, can I get two scripts real quick?
Marv Lyon.
Bring it out.
Hey.
Real quick. Lamentation.
Hey, and this is the topic. This is part of Quest 6 commentary. And I'm tactfully laying the foundation for something I'm going to bring out, not today, but eventually down the road. The Spirit's taking us here.
Hold that real quick. Get Hebrews 11 in.
And I want to come back to Isaiah again because Judah, you got to stop misquoting that scripture. Stop it.
This is going to build on what
help.
You just brought
get
up.
Get some help.
Go ahead and read
why didn't
that
you play, Daniel?
Hebrews 11 and read verse 3.
This is the book of Hebrews,
why
chapter 11,
play, Daniel?
Verse 3.
Uh-huh.
Through faith, we understand
through faith, we understand those that have been endowed with the gift that God has given us through these words of our forefathers, right? From the things that were written aforetime, right? Read it again.
Through faith. We understand that the worlds were framed.
The worlds that you see and the worlds that you don't see. Mm. Read.
Were framed by the word of God.
They were framed by the word of God. So.
Yeah.
a lot of times when we're in that internal battle and we're what we're reading in Isaiah, it like Deacon said, it goes back to the split. And these worlds were framed by the word of God. And this happened throughout time, all the way back to the beginning. But let me get Lamentations 5 real quick. Chapter 5, verse 10.
The book of Lamentations, chapter 5, verse 10. Our skin was black like an oven because
that's
of
not, that's not that's like Lamentations 5 and 10. That's
Lamentations
hold
5.
On, hold on.
And
you
10.
Want 4?
Is it 4 and 10?
I think it's 4 and
4 and 8.
Nope.
Oh, God.
No, Song of Solomon. I apologize.
Oh, I knew you were
swinging a miss. A swing and a miss. Get it though. Hold on.
It's all right.
Song of Solomon.
He's usually incredibly accurate.
Yeah.
Usually.
Five and ten. Read that.
The book of Lamentations, chapter 5, verse 10. My beloved is white.
What? Read it again.
My beloved is white and ruddy.
He's white and ruddy. Read.
The chiefest among 10,000.
I found that script, and I was like, yeah, I like that.
Oh, my God.
You funny.
Yeah, but the white in there is going into being righteous and keeping the laws. Yeah. So, right? Because you can't be white and ruddy.
No.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Remember, ruddy.
Right,
exactly. Hey, also to Tobias' defense, I've had to tell people, several people on the street, they'll come up like, hey, why that white boy teach? And I'll be like, nah, he black. He black. That's a black man.
Exactly. He's a black man.
In these last days, man, hey, all praise. Hey, that's why the scriptures say, from out of every nation.
I don't know where, you know, I have the one with a whole bunch of ribbons. I don't know where it is.
Uh-oh.
Oh, that's right.
Maybe it's in my book bag. It might have fell off in my book bag.
I might have an extra one.
We know you black. Your credit jacked up just like the rest of us. You good,
hey,
bro.
Hey. So, you know, I'm glad you're here. And listen, I know some of y'all with the brown paper bag test, all right?
Yes.
Okay? You know what I'm talking about. Mm. You know what I'm talking about. Yeah, bro, the West Coast is heavy, right? It's heavy. No, I'm okay. I got mine. Yeah, I it's somewhere. I just was looking for it now because when I look for, I like to line it up and put my,
right.
It's easier for me to get to it. But, and I know a lot of y'all, that are of the lighter variety amongst your own tribe have experienced that. That's why I use you as the example.
Right.
I mean, you know, there's not a lot that are as light as you that are here amongst us, but there's some that are Judah that look Northern Kingdom.
And they don't speak Spanish.
And I guess to you, they kind of, I mean, as Uriah a little bit too. I mean.
Well, he's. Yeah.
No, he's darker than him.
He's darker than him.
By a tad.
Right.
Just a tad.
He's darker than him. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
But, you know, the high yellow ones.
Yeah.
Like, y'all have experienced it, you know? Mm-hmm. But there's a subtlety in the way it happens here. And that's what I'm saying. It's a spiritual thing, but then you also got to consider the effect that our slave masters had on us in that colorism. And I'm telling you, it's the same because we have the same thing in Northern Kingdom between the dark and the light of us.
Right.
All right. Mm-hmm. It's the same. That's the whole point. All right. That's the whole point. Okay. Most Puerto Rican think, oh, light-skinned folks be Spanish. I don't know because I don't know, unless you're from the East Coast, I don't know if you are TikTok. I don't think anybody's qualified to speak about Puerto Ricans. Because I think unless you're from the tri-state and maybe
wearing Tim's,
some areas of the Carolinas and parts of Florida. Most of y'all didn't know what a Puerto Rican was until you heard about Ephraim and this truth.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
You thought
every Latino
yeah.
was Mexican.
Oh,
for real.
Hey, you didn't know Daddy Yankee was Puerto Rican until years later. All you knew was Gasolina.
Hey, you still got brothers at camp to be like, hey, what? Where you from? You Latino? Oh, you're from the tribe of Issachar. I'd be like, bro, you can't say that, bro.
Damn.
And let me tell you, man, I'm extremely qualified to speak on Southern Kingdom because I'm telling you for real, real, real talk, man.
For real, though.
Like,
real, though.
Growing up in the Bronx, and if you're from New York, you know what's up, okay? Judah and Ephraim rock together,
right.
We rock together. There was nothing because of race.
Mm-hmm.
If we had beef, it was beef over... Typical Negro stuff.
Yeah.
A woman,
right.
You stepped
on my butter,
corner,
son. Some respect.
You sunned me on the basketball court, or I sunned you in football, whatever it was. You know what I'm saying? Judah really didn't mess with us in baseball.
He
like,
stepped
we
on
dominated.
My butter.
Yeah. Right, and handball, too.
Damn.
I mean, it was some
Damn.
Good Judaize in handball, but that was mostly us.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying?
It's a lot
right?
of Jews.
Right. But, we just, that thing don't exist, really. Back there. If anything, we're worse amongst each other than we are between Judah and Ephraim in New York,
mm-hmm.
you know? I mean, I can't speak to it now since I've been gone. I know things have really kind of gotten wild over there, but it's just different. It's just different. But let's go back to Isaiah.
This is the book of Isaiah, chapter 11, verse 13.
And let's get it straight. Come on, please, Israel. Once and for all, I'm going to tell you the significance. This isn't something that's going to magically happen. It got to be worked on. I'm going to give you the scriptures that prove that. All right. Go ahead. Come on.
The envy also of Ephraim shall depart,
mm-hmm.
and the adversaries of Judah shall be cut off. Ephraim shall not envy Judah.
Right. So it does not say Ephraim vexing Judah. You don't know how much throughout the years I always hear that. That's not what the scripture says. It said there would be envy.
Mm-hmm.
And I have seen that. I saw that with the northern kingdom that left. That had an issue with it.
Right.
And because of that envy, they thought the training wheels, because we needed training wheels,
mm.
okay, that we had on us as far as our development, all right? Because what was the excuse? Oh, we're leaving because you're not letting us teach, you're stifling us, whatever. You got to be built up in this so that you don't get cut up.
Right.
Right? You got to be able to speak intelligently about all the tribes,
mm-hmm.
right? And you got to be able to break it down. I'll tell you an example of when we get to the vexation, remind me, of how you see the difference in that, okay? I'll say that in a second. The thought just popped in my head. But it says Ephraim will not envy Judah, okay? Go ahead, come on.
And Judah shall not vex Ephraim.
And Judah shall, it says Judah vexes Ephraim. It's not the other way around. Now, let me show you, and let me tell you, and I do want to say this to all the men that were in the spirit. And I said it on the quest. When
yes.
the interview comes out, you'll see it. I want to give there's always love and respect amongst the brotherhood. But I want to give so much props to all. Because we still are increasing our numbers of qualified, meaning that you're able to speak and teach in the language of Northern Kingdom brothers. For all the Judah that supported that just on post, that were
yes.
just happy to hand out flyers and hold up the camp signs and bring people to the camp and all of that stuff. I mean, it was beautiful.
Yes.
It was beautiful. It touches me to see us as Israel.
One state.
Because you
yes.
hear a lot of the tribes, and it's cool. I'm behind that because,
right.
I mean, you know, as Ephraim, we were always talking about Puerto Rico, and that was in nonsense.
Right.
Repping the flag and the parade and all
mm-hmm.
that stuff. So I get repping your set, so to speak,
right?
You know, Judah, all of that. Rep your tribe.
Mm.
Be proud that you have your real, the name that God gave to you
right.
as a people.
God.
Yeah. But remember, he says Israel will be saved in the Lord, everlasting salvation.
Mm-hmm.
He don't go, the tribes come under that.
Mm-hmm.
We're Israel before we're tribes,
yeah.
all right? And we got to remember that. And that's what I saw my Southern Kingdom brothers, out of their own pocket, knowing that they might not get that much burn teaching. Because they don't know the language,
mm-hmm.
but they were supporting. And then the ones that make it their business to try to read,
yes.
to try to pick up enough, to try to get people to come and, you know, fishing the people
Southern
to come
Kingdom.
So that we can teach them.
Mm-hmm.
Yo, Southern Kingdom was fishing out there, bro. They were doing it. It was the spirit
of
the Lord.
And it was zealous.
Yes.
It
yeah,
was
yo,
beautiful.
Come here, let's go, let's
I mean, that's a nation, that's an organized nation in order coming together with none of this BS. And that's why I said I'm a bang on the sisters when I go into the colorism. Mm. I saw some things, observed some things that I was a little displeased with, but it was mainly from sisters on the quest. Overall, it was good.
It was great.
There were some incidents of things that I saw that was disappointing to my spirit. But then I got to remind myself that the flock of the pasture is men. Mm-hmm. And for the most part, the men don't roll like that by any measure, but it's a woman thing. But this is why I say you cannot resist it. You got to consider it, because you got to consider the depths of the number that's been done on us, that you might have a little animosity towards
Northern
Kingdom. The lighter skin variety of Northern Kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
And the scripture tells us this, and understanding that, remember, I'm focusing on the spiritual part. Wait, before I go to this scripture, you didn't remind me, I want to say
the vexation. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I'll show you an example of the vexation. There's a lot of Southern Kingdom that struggle to teach anything Northern Kingdom in the scriptures.
Mm-hmm.
But Northern Kingdom can teach Southern Kingdom in the scriptures with no issue.
Fact. Soldier Obadiah be bringing it out.
To show you that envy departing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
To show you that thing moving out the way.
One more time. Say it one more time.
There's a lot of Northern Kingdom that can teach Judah in the scriptures. And I'm not talking about the language. But there's not an equal proportion of Southern Kingdom that can go into Northern Kingdom stuff for Northern Kingdom.
Damn.
And I say that because that means that the effort has not really been there to try to bring that out.
To learn it.
I'm not saying everybody. I'm not making a blanket statement.
Mm-hmm.
Just observations. All right? Now, it's a spiritual thing. And you have to understand that, because what was the issue in most of Paul's letters?
The Gentiles
right?
Mm-hmm.
So much so that Christianity was able to build a doctrine off of that, saying that all people are accepted because of the hatred.
Damn.
That's crazy.
The vexation between the two, right? Remember the parable of the Good Samaritan, right?
Mm-hmm.
All of them left them by, right?
Damn, divided we fall.
Right. But the Good Samaritan, dealing with the Northern Kingdom, came and looked out, right? Now, let's get 1 Peter 2 and 17.
The book of 1 Peter, chapter 2 and verse 17. Honor all men. Love the brotherhood.
Love the brotherhood. That means let that envy and that vexation depart. Let that vexation depart. It says love the brotherhood. What is the brotherhood? All right. It is the 12 tribes collectively. I don't think it says the same thing in English. Hold on a second. I want to see if I want to make my point. All right. It's close enough. Let me get Matthew 1 and 2. Let me show you the brotherhood.
The book of Matthew, chapter 1.
I know what you're talking about.
And verse 2. Abraham begat Isaac, and Isaac begat Jacob, and Jacob begat Judas and his brethren.
That's brethren means what? Brotherhood. Judah and his brethren. Now read 21.
Verse 21. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins.
Right. And who is his people? Judah and his brethren. Now, let's go back to 1 Peter 2 and 17.
1 Peter chapter 2, verse 17. Honor all men.
Honor all men, regardless of what tribe they're from. Go ahead, come on.
Love.
Regardless if they light or dark. Go ahead, come on.
Love the brotherhood.
Love the brotherhood of Judah and his brethren. Come on.
Fear God. Honor the king.
Read verse 15.
Verse 15. For so is the will of God, that with well-doing ye may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men.
Damn. Foolish men
oh my God.
That brainwashed us to think that we were not one people, that there was a divide amongst us,
right.
Okay? And what I saw amongst the men was the unity of 12 tribes of Israel going out to teach all Israel with the same zeal, with the same fire, with the same, I like that, with the same vigor.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that's right.
With the same virility.
Right, the virility.
With the vehemency. Okay.
Ferociousness. No, we're trying to get
with the same
out of here,
ferociousness,
man.
Okay? Moving in the right spirit, okay? And it says, put to silence the ignorance of foolish men who don't understand that history of the split to the extent that it needs to be brought out. Go ahead. Come on. Read on.
Verse 16, as free and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness.
That's a great shot. We'll put it up. Oh, you got it up now? Good. Leave it up, right? Go ahead. Come on.
As a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God.
Uh-huh. Come on.
Honor all men. Love the brotherhood.
Uh-huh.
Fear God. Honor the king.
Honor the king. Now, let me get Ephesians 4, and let's start at 3. Let me get the definition of endeavor. Mm-hmm. Go ahead. Come on.
The book of Ephesians, chapter 4, and verse 3.
Freedom.
Endeavoring to keep the unity of the spirit in the bond of peace.
Endeavoring to keep the unity of the spirit in the bond of peace. I love the outro song that we play on the show. Because he says, what's the line? I'm going to butcher it. He says, something like that.
It wouldn't be Israel without Mexicans.
All 12 tribes. When you read in Revelation 7, we're going to get to that in a second, it talks about all 12 tribes, all right? Now, jump up to verse 1, where we at in Ephesians.
Verse 1, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you, that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, for bearing one another in love.
To have lowliness and meekness means that you're humble enough, you have the humility enough to be able to say, damn, Isaiah says, we vex and Ephraim envies.
Mm-hmm.
We got to be careful that spirit don't creep amongst us, because our slave masters have put that in us to create a strong divide between us. Mm. But the scripture teaches us that we were oppressed together.
Right.
And they would not let us go. And part of their crafty counsel was amplifying that divide between us. Mm. All right. You see it today. There's knuckleheads who come into the comments all the time talking about this stuff. We got a dumb Negro now talking about the 12 tribes chart is a lie.
Right.
Prove it.
If you have so much knowledge, then go and do your – where's your show that you could be doing right now, all right?
Break it out.
Israel Judite, okay? Where's your show that you could be doing right
he
now?
He's vexing. He's vexing.
You – listen, we be that's old news, bro.
Yeah, right.
We shook the earth on the quest.
Right.
Hell yeah.
Break it out.
We shook the waves of the ocean on the quest. Hey. You know the way that ship was rocking? Woo!
Man.
Because the dragon was wroth with the unity that we had out there.
And apparently
as
in the comments.
Men going out there.
We went and we...
And you got some knuckleheads coming in here that your daddy being black
like this
and you looking white like that. He's like saying you can't say. Unless you a shaft-looking Israelite.
Right, damn.
And you don't think in that day they're not going to be... So that means that he'll accept Edomites that have black skin.
Damn,
Bob Marley.
Bob Marley. Yes, Bob Marley.
Jesus Christ.
Damn, Lauren London.
Bye, Nooka.
Can I grab some real
quick? Hold on, let me finish this. Yes. You can come back.
He is.
All right. With all lowliness and meekness.
Lowliness and meekness with long suffering for bearing one another in love.
Right. Mm-hmm. That means even if you come across an Ephraimite that's envious, even if you come across a Judite that's vexing you, you forbear one another in love. And that's the correction that comes out of the scriptures. Come on. Now verse 3.
Endeavoring to keep the unity of the spirit in the bond of peace.
Right. In the bond of peace. We're going to read on a little bit, but I want to read the definition of endeavor. Come on.
Endeavor to attempt something such as the fulfillment of an obligation.
This is a commandment, right? Where is that in Corinthians? Is it 1 Corinthians 10 where it says, what I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord?
Yes,
right?
15.
Right? Read that real quick. Yes, sir. All right? And then we're going to come back here.
The book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 15 and verse.
That's 15? Okay, I thought it was 10.
Is it 10?
I thought it was 10.
No, verse 37. No, the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 14, verse 37.
Really?
A man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual.
If you think you a prophet, if you think you spiritual and you understand, go ahead, come on.
Let him acknowledge that the things that I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord.
Right. So all these letters, all these epistles, all this stuff, all right, and we're reading this in Ephesians, is a commandment, right? Mm-hmm. They're the commandments of the Lord. Let's go back to where we were in Ephesians, read 4 and 3 again, and then we're going to read the definition again.
The book of Ephesians, chapter 4 and verse
3,
endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace.
Right, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. That's a commandment. Definition of endeavor.
To attempt something such as the fulfillment of an obligation by exertion of effort.
It's not your love for all Israel is not going to come automatically.
Mm-hmm.
You must exert yourself. It says it's going to take effort because we grew up with no natural affection towards each other. We grew up with seeing each other as the enemy, and I'm talking about among your same tribes.
Right. Facts.
Among your same tribes. So when it says endeavoring, it means you got to fight for it.
Yep.
That's you got to fight to stay in that peace. Because you have so many opposing forces trying to bring us down, and many of them start from within ourselves. Read verse 4. Come on.
There is one body and one spirit.
It's one. Mm-hmm. It's one. Go ahead. Come on.
Even as ye are called in one hope of your calling.
Come on.
One Lord.
The black Messiah. Come on.
One faith.
Uh-huh.
One baptism.
Come on.
One God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all.
And that's the thing that we have to focus on now, Revelation 7, and talk about them that are saved. And we might jump a little bit. Go ahead.
The book of Revelation, chapter 7. Where do you want to start?
Start at 4.
Mm-hmm. And I heard the number of them which were sealed, and there were sealed 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel.
Come on.
The tribe of Judah were sealed 12,000. The tribe of Reuben were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Gad were sealed 12,000. The tribe of Asher were sealed 12,000. The tribe of Naphtali were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Manasseh were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Simeon were sealed 12,000. The tribe of Levi were sealed 12,000. The tribe of Issachar were sealed 12,000. The tribe of Zebulun were sealed 12,000. The tribe of Joseph were sealed 12,000. The tribe of Benjamin were sealed 12,000.
One body, under one God, under one spirit, under one gospel. There ain't no division. There ain't nothing else. Mm. He came to save his people from their sin. That's Judah and his brethren, okay?
Damn.
And you got these knuckleheads out here talking about everybody got to be shaft black in order to
knuckle.
Be saved.
Look at that.
Look at the unity.
Put it back.
Look at the unity.
Put it back.
Look at the unity. Go ahead. Bring them pictures up that you had. Show us out. Show them out there
how
teaching the people. Right? How they endeavoring. Right? Because that endeavoring is not just, always arm in arm and doing all this other stuff.
Feast day for shenanigans.
Right. It's holding each other in the same esteem, the same reverence. And actually, contrary-wise, it's esteeming others better than yourselves.
Yes.
Better than yourselves, as far as that goes. Like I said, it's less amongst the men, but I still see it heavy in the sisters.
Mm.
I see the manifestation of Isaiah with the envy and the vexation heavy in the sisters, but I see the vexation quite a bit. I see the vexation quite a bit. What else you got on Quest? I want to go into Greybeard a little bit.
I got you. Understand how privileged we are with something as small as...
And I'm a little subdued because all of a sudden I'm getting a little my acid reflux.
Yeah.
You know, I have a hiatal hernia.
Yeah.
So it kind of... It's not like from the H. pylori. I have the... So whenever that little piece of the stomach try to slip through the hole in the diaphragm, it just aggravates me. So... And sometimes that happens when I'm... So as I'm building up to try to be more enthusiastic and fire, I'm like, damn, if I start doing that, I'm going to be... A little messed up right now, but go ahead.
Judah Vex Thiefer.
The trash of being out there, like, so Panama, if y'all didn't know, October, November, Panama was going through civil unrest because of the government was selling to a Canadian mining company freelance pretty much anywhere, everywhere.
Right. That was the thing that was happening.
So, bro, like the trash was out there like crazy. And here, man, we come back. Streets are clean. You had a sister out there with the PVC pipe going through the street like an older sister, man. So seeing just different things, bro, we're so privileged here. We're so comfortable here, right? Now, I ain't gonna lie. I was like, oh, damn. Like, all praises, clean, you know, stuff like that. But, man, it was just it's a different experience. There's just trash everywhere. It stuck. But it was crazy, bro. It was crazy.
And each stop was slightly different, but you saw the same. You see the long-term effects of colonialism.
Yes.
Much more apparent than what you see here in the United States, because colonialism's effects are still here in the United States, but it's much more apparent. And we've gone over some of that history. We'll eventually run some of that back because I think as we've increased our viewership, you know, we got help. Remember, I said that, you know, a lot of Judah can't teach about all these things. No way. We got to bring some of that stuff out for y'all. It's just we've been hitting on stuff that, you know, people been moving with it. So we've been moving in a certain direction.
Yeah.
But I got to run back and sprinkle some stuff in on the Northern Kingdom history stuff. Like, you know, we've gone over the Banana Wars and I want to go back to the School of the Americas and
That's
stuff
heavy.
Like that
yeah.
and bring that out. WinSec now they call it. We got to bring a lot more of that stuff out. So that we can create that awareness and show some of these things. But like you saw the impacts of colonialism a lot more prevalent. And I don't mean just in the typical way. So, for example, in ignorance, you'll go and you'll say, oh, my gosh, look at the colors of these buildings and the whole, wow, it looks so old and this and that. Yet that was the Spanish designs, and they used our skilled labor to kind of build those things, right? When the Spanish came here, which were white people,
right?
Okay, Caucasians from Europe, and you'll see a lot of that stuff. So I don't know if that's the best
favela?
Shot.
No,
like, you know what? If you look up, like favela, old, that's just the slums. That's the projects in Brazil. Look up Old San Juan. And here's one thing that I noticed. It's the same, the effects of the Spaniard, which is the colonialism, and the Portuguese. Yeah, so that one with the colors on the houses.
That third one, yeah.
Mm-hmm. You saw that everywhere.
Yes.
We went over there.
Yes.
And then also look up El Morro, M-O-R-R-O.
Yes.
Okay. And I'm going to show you, and this is what I mean by the effects of colonialism are still more prevalent. The United States is so developed that unless you go to a museum,
And see these things.
You forget that this is a colonized place that was robbed from the indigenous that were here.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, put up the houses. So the first effects that you see, okay, are architecturally, right, in landmarks, and it is beautiful. It's a beautiful design built by the hands of slaves, our people, okay, our forefathers, under pain of death by the conquistadors, which are Caucasian men from Europe, okay? And you see these designs, and they were in every Northern Kingdom country that we've been to.
Yeah. Nicaragua,
it's the
too.
Same. It's the same. You go everywhere and you find, not everywhere, not all of them are colored like this, but you'll find a district that has this stuff, right? And they preserve
streets.
It with the cobblestone streets and all that stuff, right? Mm-hmm. Now, go to El Morro.
Hey, let me say something real quick, and I'm sorry. So, and I forgot to say this about Costa Rica. Costa Rica, right, was colonized by Christopher Columbus.
Mm-hmm.
He named Puerto Rico, and when we teach, we say, what does Puerto Rico mean?
Rich port.
Okay, rich ports. Now, that's ports for the island. Now, Christopher Columbus colonized Costa Rica. What does Costa Rica mean?
Rich coast.
Rich coast. Mm-hmm. It's the same thing. Rich port, rich coast. And he did that thing there and there.
Right. See, so Sis says they have it in Venezuela, too. They call it it's like a Casa Vieja area. Yeah, so they'll call it, you know, like Viejo San Juan or Old Town this or Old Town that and so on and so forth. And that's what you get. Now, the other thing in almost every.
Yes.
Is forts that they built to defend their possession, which was us, and the land, okay, which was our blessing, like you read in Genesis 49. Mm-hmm. And they stole it from us, okay? This is called El Morro. It just means like the wall, like the fort, okay?
Yeah.
And you have various setups of this where they would defend from the other Edomites that once word got out of the wealth here, the skill and the awe and the marvel, because we went over this with, in the American Holocaust book of we were not savages. Our infrastructure, they got a lot of the ideas for what modernized Europe, because remember, when did the Renaissance happen?
1450s.
Right. Yeah. When did Columbus come over here?
1492.
Right?
What the hell?
They were coming out of the Dark Ages, and what they saw here, and when we read the book, The American Holocaust, is that it far surpassed what they had in Europe. So Europe was able to kind of, not just off the slave labor, not just, but off of our intelligence, off of our ingenuity, off of our designs, they were able to take that back. This is why they took some of us back. It's not spoken about highly how they took some of us back over there to then go and teach them certain trades. You see that now. Starting with Issachar, who are the ones that are building all these homes out here and doing this stuff, and the tradesmen and stuff, right? But the foremen are who? The Edomites. They're the Edomites. The foremen are the Edomites.
You never see them.
And this is what they did over there. And we showed them and we taught them of all this modernization, and they brought it. Remember, they try to tell you Rome built the aqueducts and the arches and the reservoirs, but you read that in the scriptures that it was not them, but that was Israel that did those things, right?
You know,
when we were in rulership, we came up with that ingenuity.
Also, on the west coast of Africa, you will see similar forts like this.
Right. My wife says Zona Colonial, all right, is what they had in Santo Domingo. It's the same thing. So there's always colonial. They have all of it kind of set up, okay? And you see the colonialism. And we all have these similarities because we all had the same oppressor, right?
Right.
What were we going to say now?
Yeah, so on the west coast of Africa, you got forts just like this where they
used to keep slaves.
And also going into how the homes are built with different colors and things like that. It's the same thing.
And in this one in Puerto Rico, they actually show you, that's like a museum as well, and you'll see it's an ingenious vantage point to defend against ships trying to come in. So you get them before they even get to get on land.
Right.
So they had cannons and things like that there, right? And where it's at, there's no way they could get in to dock.
Right.
And then there's smaller encampments as you go past the old area there, because that's the direction that they were coming from after the long journey. Right, to try to dock, and they would basically destroy the ships. There's even some on the other side, so there's like another inlet there, which this view doesn't show, and there was a crossfire of cannons that would get the ships before they were even able to. So it wasn't even like a land battle. They would get them before they got there.
And those walls are not short. Those walls are very high.
No, and we built those.
Yes.
We built those under pain of death. Okay, we built those embankments and all of that stuff, and they had us kind of set all that up and do that stuff. And the other way you see the effects of the colonialism is economically. We got to kind of maybe digest and break down the End of Poverty documentary
Panama,
on the show.
The
you know how we've done things where we kind of watch and discuss things and stuff together? I think we kind of got to do something like that. Like we did that with the Harvest of Empire documentary. I think we got to go into that a little bit with that documentary, because the other way you see it is the effect on the economy, right? So you have a visual impact from the old districts, the colonial districts, from the forts and embankments that they had there. And then you also have from the economic standpoint and how recessed a place so rich in resources is in things. I've often said, and I'll use Cuba as the example, their rum alone would make them billions of dollars as a little island. Bro, I have not, I'll say this, I have not tried everyone's rum, but out of the, and I've tried a lot. Not beats Havana Club. Not even an expensive bottle of some of the best rum in South America beats a Havana Club.
Straight up. They used to sell it in Germany. You know, it's not allowed here in America.
You can get it in parts of Mexico. Mm-hmm. You can get it in Panama. I know because when we were on a layover in Panama, I was able to buy some and take it with us to Guatemala on mm-hmm. one of the trips that we went on. And just their rum alone would drive people up. One, because of the curiosity and the availability of it, mm-hmm. right? Because it was taboo that it was forbidden. For people who smoked, their cigars
right.
would make the money
That's
by
right.
itself.
Right.
Their universities for medical, we've gone over on the show.
Yes, we did go over
would
that.
Boom their economy because
Damn.
People would then go there to study.
Mm-hmm.
Because of their isolation, I'm not crediting any type of vaccines and stuff, but they had none of the vaccines that were part of the agenda. And I guarantee you from the stuff that I have seen, you know how you're seeing the vaccine complications here
yeah,
now
yeah,
with
yeah,
the heart stuff?
Out, yeah.
They didn't have that in Cuba with the vaccine that they created.
Oh.
Because they had to do it themselves.
Damn.
To deal with the stuff that was there. And then you talk about the tourism, because while they are limited in resources there, Cuban food is up there as some of my favorite
really?
Type of cuisine. It is incredibly good if you go to the right place. But I've had the Cuban food in the country was not that great because they don't have
the resources
to do it. But some of their best dishes I've had stateside, that Cubans that come here and have the recipes and have access to that stuff. So they have so much on the world stage that would make them prosper, but because of the embargo and stuff like that, they're not able. So they got ingenuity, they got skilled labor, they got intelligent people, some of the best rum in the world. I'm not saying it's the best because I can't say that because I haven't had everybody's rum, but I've had a lot of different rums. And mind you, Puerto Ricans are supposed to be about rum, right? We have Bacardi and Don Q. And Havana Club puts – it's a shame, bro.
Wow.
I know my wife's going to be upset, and so does Simeon, that Brugal, trash compared to Havana Club.
Damn.
And they love Brugal. They get – my wife saw in the Miami airport on layover, they had a little Brugal. She said, oh, my God, Brugal. I said, why are you excited? She goes, well, I'm not excited because I drink. I don't even really like rum. She said, but represent. She was like, represent, you know,
yeah.
for Simeon, the Brugal, right. She said, yeah, Brugal. Brugal. But I'm telling you, Havana Club, there's not anybody who's tried rum, comparing rum to rum, that has tried the Havana Club and cannot tell me. And I'm not saying there's other good rums that are very good rums, but the Havana Club is something else. It's something else. It don't even taste like rum. It's like a cordial. It's like something else.
Havana,
it's so freaking good.
Ooh,
but they got a lot of stuff that they have to offer. So, and it's like that with all our countries. The Panama Canal.
Yes.
They charge $1 million each way for a ship to pass.
Oh, my God.
So I was talking to the...
And the country does not benefit from that outside...
At all.
Outside
yeah.
of Panama City. Because my wife went to Panama City. Some of the brothers were down that way. And the difference between Colón, where we docked,
mm-hmm.
and Panama City, stark difference. Stark difference.
No, Colón was all right.
No, it was shitty where
okay.
we went. Where the radio station was?
Yes.
It was, oh, damn, pardon my language. It was quite crappy where we went.
In Colón? Oh, you
in
went
Colón.
To Camp 1. That's okay, so I went to Sabanita. That's midpoint.
No, I was Camp 2.
Camp 2. No, I'm Camp 2. You didn't go.
No, I went to Camp 2. No, oh, no, it was Camp 1.
Yeah.
It was Camp 1.
Okay, so I didn't see Colón much, but when we got there, it looked all right. For the tourism around there, right? So you went into deeper...
Yeah, Panama City is like in Lord of the Rings where they went to the White City, Gondor. Panama City is like Gondor from what I understand.
Yeah?
Yeah. No, it's built up.
Damn.
Yeah, like near because they want to give the appearance
that is...
That they're hooking it up,
right? Okay.
But that's not really for our people.
Right.
Very few of our people can afford to live in those places.
Right.
You know, you have the expats that come in and they cater to them.
Right.
Right. And it is low cost for them, but still out of reach for the locals.
People.
Can we get
right.
a script just
the,
real quick?
The guy from the show was telling us
yes.
that he lives in Colón, but he drives the hour and change, whatever, to work at the canal. The canal is the major source of income.
Yes.
When you look at and we're not going to get to Greybeard, I guess, today. When you look at Panama Deception, but don't let me forget all those Greybeard ones that I wanted to go over. When you look at the Panama Deception and the history of the Panama Canal, they had like a 50 or 75. My history is slightly off in numbers, lease. The United States, with Panama on this thing. And when the lease was up, they said, we cannot let that go.
Right.
It is a major conduit of commerce, because prior to that, commerce sail around. I don't know if you've seen the movie Gangs of New York. Maybe you're not up on history.
Oh, yeah, I like that.
They were in New York, and Rose.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
What's her name, Rose? Or Rose's Titanic?
No, that's Titanic. What was that?
Whatever the hell the whore's name was.
Yes.
Because she was a hoe.
What's her name?
Cameron Diaz's character, okay? Cameron Diaz's character and Leonardo DiCaprio's character.
Jenny.
Jenny. Jenny was a hoe in Gangs of New York. And Leonardo DiCaprio's character was a simp when it came to Jenny.
Amsterdam.
Which we didn't get into that. I was going to talk about the men as you build yourself up, how you could be a mighty man, but then the woman bring you down. But we got to say Amsterdam, his name was. And one of the things that she had toward the end was she showed him a little flyer. She was like, look, we're going to go to California.
Yes.
It's this and that, because there was you had the gold rush, and that's a whole other thing where they jacked us up in California as well.
Yeah.
Well, Issachar first kind of jacked it from Gad. And then Esau jacked it from Issachar in California. And that's where you had the gold rush and the craziness there. Anyway, long story short, still going back to Panama, so much history. They were going to sail around South America. So from New York, they were going to sail down past Florida, down
Patagonia,
towards the coast. And, you know, you have to stop. You can't take a journey like that without stopping, right? Mm. Just like the cruise has to stop. One of the reasons cruises stop as frequently as they do is because they re-up on supplies and all this other stuff, right? Fuel and everything like that. So think about it. So they had to come down from New York. They stopped somewhere where they had stuff
Georgia,
in the
maybe.
Caribbean. No, they probably they probably were able to go long enough. Remember, it was a sail ship, not motored.
Oh, yeah, right.
Where they stopped. Remember, just like we do the route from the Euphrates to here.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, the understanding was they went straight across. There's no way they would have gone a year and a half with enough supplies for that. They stopped along coast in Africa to re-up, and then they took those trade winds. I don't think you were on the show yet where we went over that. We might have to run that back.
That's some good
where
stuff
we spoke
right
about
there,
the road and the currents that they used to get here.
Yeah,
and they knew that because under Solomon they came here.
Solomon.
You see that in Gangs of New York, and basically when you look at that route on the map, they would have had to go through there, probably stop maybe along Cartagena, because what you want to do for a long journey like that is you want to kind of be relatively close to the coast, just like the cruise ships sail. Where do you think they get that from? Close to the coast, right, in case they need to kind of book it in, right? And they sailed down around the bottom of South America. This is before the canal. And then staying, hugging the coast all the way up the other side to get to the other side of the United States. And because the terrain, see, now you could drive coast to coast in like maybe 3-4 days, right? If you're not stopping and you just keep switching drivers, right? 3-4 days from like New York to California probably, right? Back then, you had like kind of the Wild West, so to speak, and Gad was still giving them hell when you came into whatever territories we had. So they would sail around. The advent of the canal and the institution of that changed the global economy. Remember, their whole thing was their commerce. You read that in Revelation 18, right? It's their commerce, right? You read that in Cartagena was one of the largest slave ports getting into South and Central America, all right, which is why you see the history and the prevalence of darker-skinned people to this day there because of the history of the slave ports there. And Cartagena and Colón and Costa Rica was a stop for them as they made their way inland. See, we're thinking today with roads and infrastructure, that thing was dense rainforest and jungle. So this is why we were able to put up some resistance, some of us, right, a remnant of us that were able to do some things. They had to sail around to get to a lot of these places, which is why in Brazil they speak Portuguese instead of Spanish, because Spain could not hold down all of that land.
It was a lot of land.
It's massive. It's massive. You look at a map, maps do not do justice in scale unless you're into topography and you understand that of how big these countries are, okay? I think the United States fits in South America.
I believe so.
Oh, yeah.
All right? I mean, they've shown the maps where you do that stuff, and yet they show the U.S. almost equal in size. Creates this thing. I notice when I book flights within the country, when we've done these trips to multiple countries in the continent,
mm-hmm.
like South America is not a country, it's a continent,
yeah.
right? And the hours that it takes to fly just within the country, from one country to another, is insane. You can go from New York to California
five
in a plane
hours.
In 5 hours,
5 hours yeah.
right? But depending on where you're going, let's say you're going to fly from someplace in, I don't know.
Alaska.
Venezuela.
Okay.
Okay, because I think Venezuela is above Colombia on the map.
Yes.
So let's say somewhere deep down in Brazil. It's like a 6-7 hour flight. No. It's like a 5 hour flight direct from Cartagena to Ecuador. And Ecuador is right next to it, going from one city to the other. So the canal, I'm not losing the point, the canal was so important to the global economy, and it changed every. Look at that. I love that visual.
Damn.
That's the whole of the United States, and
yeah.
South America eats it up.
Damn.
South America eats it up. Look at how huge Peru is, and Lima is one of the major cities there. Mm-hmm. So as you go from city to city, right? How intense it is, right? Anyway, so
damn.
Canal changed everything on the global scale. And what happened was, is when that lease was up, and I'm going to give you a little tidbit before we sign off on this. And then this is stuff for a future show to bring out and show biblically and historically. What they did was they said, when the lease was up, they said, we can't let that go. It's in our interest. And this goes back to the Monroe Doctrine, which is, in short, the United States declaring themselves the police of the Western Hemisphere.
Yes.
That's what the Monroe Doctrine is about. And they said, we got to maintain that, because if we give that to them, they're going to prosper. It generates billions of dollars in revenue for them to go through those locks, okay, and get from one side to the other. Mm. And they pay it, because the cost, the hazard, everything else is much more if they try to go around it.
Mm.
So they pay it, and it became such a major important thing on the global stage that the United States said, because of that Monroe Doctrine, we got to maintain this. And they never gave it back. They have their loopholes, their contracts, their things that they never keep, which they did with GAD. They mischief by law, and they frame these things. They stage proxy wars. They still do to this day. You know, like they caught some people in Venezuela that were U.S. citizens, so to speak. I was reading it the other day because they released some, 12 of them. But when you read carefully, out of the 12, 10 of them were mercenaries that were hired by the U.S. to go in there and disrupt things. Right. We'll have to run it back, because, like I said, I think we have a larger viewership now than we did when I went over this stuff.
Yeah.
And it might be good history to bring out. And here's the interesting thing. In Panama, when we got kicked off the show, we didn't even get to talk about that. We got kicked off the show after 45 minutes in Panama, because we didn't even get to talk about the color of Christ, but we were talking about how we're the Israelites and showing it in the Bible. And somebody didn't like it.
Hate.
They called the owner of the radio station, who happened to be Arab. The guy hosting it was not Arab. And he called. And it's up on the Spanish Facebook. Mm-hmm. Israel Unido en Cristo. And the guy talks to us in English. Some of it's English, some of it's Spanish. So you'll be able to hear the dialogue we had. And he says this. It's not me talking. If you don't believe it, go on Facebook, Israel Unido en Cristo. And you'll see it's like a 2.5 hour thing or something like that. But only 45 minutes was us actually teaching in Spanish. Because he came in and he told us the owner never listens to this station. He said, and he called me right now. And it's verified, because we had brothers in the room with him.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, like, he went. When he got the phone call, like, his whole face and spirit changed. He said, I got to cut y'all off. He goes, he's going to kick me out of this thing. He said, if I don't take y'all off the air right now. And back to my point with the canal, people were calling off the hook when they saw that we were getting cut off. And he actually took one of the calls, and it was a sister. She said, I need to know more. I never understood that about the canal.
Damn.
Their deception is so strong that very few of Panama's citizens understand the influence that the United States has on that canal. and on their infrastructure and economy.
D, can I read this script real quick?
Go ahead.
This is the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 28, verse 33. The fruit of thy land and all thy labors shall a nation which thou knowest not eat up, and thou shalt only be oppressed and crushed always.
That's the curses in life. And so we saw that, right? We saw that. We saw the manifestation of that, you know. And there's a lot. And one of the things I always talk about in every country, and I can when I've gone to these places when I'm teaching, is you got to ask the question, how are you so rich in resources but so poor as an economy? That the wealth is not distributed the way it needs to be distributed here.
Is it this one?
And a lot of that goes into
right?
I don't know. Is that it?
I don't think so.
No. You on the Facebook? It's on the Facebook.
I think it's on YouTube.
No, we went live on Facebook, I think. Do you think it's YouTube? I think it was on Facebook where I went live.
Yeah.
Yep. Anyway. We didn't get into the graybeard stuff, and I guess we have to run that title back, How to Construct a Masculine Man.
Mm-hmm.
And don't let me forget to kind of go into some of this stuff, like with the Panama Canal and the history. Let's run that back with the stuff about how we got here and the journeys and things
that
like
that.
That
stuff is good. We just be flowing on the Telegram all the time,
bro.
Yeah,
yeah. Yep.
Video after video after video.
Yeah, it just kind of moves. Any closing remarks as we wrap up today?
Yes, we start.
That was perfect timing. They did that good. They did that good. They did that good. Hey, you know what? Which graybeard video is this, though? Let's give them a taste of the next show.
Ooh.
What are we going to talk about? Which one is this? Is this the one where he talks about the don't be yourself?
No fight.
That is BS to be yourself?
The idea of
Being yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, we're going to leave you with a little taste and a little preview of what we're going to go over next week, Lord's Will Life Last. There's nothing coming up next week, right? No feast day, not right. So we're going to be able to do the show, Lord's Will Life Last. This is what we were going to segue into. See, this is why I didn't want to lead with Quest 6 last time. And we didn't even get into – we still have more to talk about the Quest.
A lot more.
But this is what we're going to go into next week, okay? And go ahead. Let's play the video.
Be yourself is a childish idea that I posted about last week, and someone in the comments replied with a quote from Mark Twain. Be yourself is about the worst advice you can give to people. Twain recognized what we today call snowflake ideology. Just be yourself gives a man permission to continue to be a boy. An objectively masculine man has to work on being a man. He holds himself responsible for his own decisions, because at the end of the day, he understands that if he's successful, or a loser. At the end of the day, no one cares why the results are what they are. All they see are the results. The snowflake man, however, his authenticity rests in that he is being his real self. That real self is an unrefined little boy that's been told masculinity is toxic. So the snowflake matures physically, but never goes through the refining process of becoming objectively masculine. When dating, he puts women on a pedestal because he's operating from his emotions. And if it fails, it's not his fault. He was just being himself. If he manages to get married, he treats his wife like a 50-50 partner, failing to accept his role as the masculine lead in the relationship. When she divorces him a few years later, it's not his fault. He was just being himself. Conform has turned into a bad word in modern society, but we're all going to conform to one of two models. A man can conform to the objective standards of masculinity, or he will conform to the effeminate standards as established over the last 50 years or so.
Right. He said so much.
That went right into what you brought out earlier with the vexation of Judah vexing Ephraim, Ephraim envying Judah. So if we don't accept and embrace that you are not growing into the objective and standard that Christ gave, and you're by default embracing those emotions, which is a childish nature.
Right. And we're going to unpack that a lot, and we got other videos to show and some stuff. That's what I said. Don't let me forget all the stuff I posted for today. We're going to go over that next week. And one thing I'll say with this, he is by no means saying that by being objectively masculine means you're being fake. When he says don't focus on being your authentic self, he's not saying
don't
be fake.
Sincere. Right.
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 What he's saying is you need to be able to understand that to remain in that masculine state in today's world takes constant focus and attention. You don't just walk around being a man. right? And we're going to talk about, you know, being born male versus being a masculine man. Mm-hmm. That's why I say that's why the title was Constructing the Masculine Man, which we'll run back that title for next week, because we really didn't get into that. But because it's not that you're fake. You have to be in your masculine energy before your true authentic self can manifest itself. Mm-hmm. And there's a difference. And I think a lot of people don't understand that. So he's not saying be fake. He's saying you have to work on being objectively, because objective means there's no opinion on it. You have to work on being objectively masculine, right? Because a subjective means I can make it whatever I want to be,
right?
Your objective masculinity sets the foundation. This is why I call it constructing the masculine man. For everything else that comes after, you don't know what your authentic self is until you've set the foundation of your masculinity.
Mm.
And when that's in balance and that's where it needs to be, then you're going to be able to be that king.
Machismo.
Not just in title, but in action.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So we'll talk about that, Lord's will, next week.
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So with that, we say shalom, be safe, stay in the spirit, stay prosperous, and shalom.
Shalom.
Yeah.
Funny. What happened to the song?
That goes into the...
Only 30 minutes.
We went over the class. We were talking about the perfecting of the saints.
Bro, it's not even...
This for the Southern Kingdom, Kwame Sharala. This for the Northern Kingdom, Viva La Raza.
We one nation, one nation.
This for the Southern Kingdom, Kwame Sharala.
Hey, one nation, one nation.
This for the Northern Kingdom, Viva La Raza.
We one nation, one nation.
It wouldn't be Israel without Mexicans. Black love, brown pride, cause we next to kin. We ain't gotta tell Esau to let's be friends, cause we above all nations and we better than them. We the salt of the earth, ay, ay. And we been king since birth, ay, ay. We put the kingdom first, ay, ay. And they gon' get this work, ay, ay. We was chosen, not cause we the most of the people. Few in numbers, but we over the people. We gods of this earth, we ain't supposed to be equal. Stop playing, you emotional people. The good gotta triumph over the evil. So my foot's on the throat.